about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And how have you thought? What are your thoughts on how it has gone so far?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah! Partying, partying, yeah! Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Well, that's it, sir. You want to start the weekend?
No.
One more thing left.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, let's begin again.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You butt ain't made for that!
That's true.
Roll another.
Why would anyone want to participate in such a thing?
Just like the other one.
This is a mess.
This one seems to be about to quit.
And tell us about that. Are you gay?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I could kill the bastards.
Did somebody order a hooker over here?
Just like the other one.
Yeah, what a cool song.
This one seems to be about to end.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
I don't have another cent.
Let me put this in terms you can understand. I am not down with that.
Note.com.
Just pass it around.
Those balls are sensational.
Well, our next stop's the nut.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Hey, Lisa May. I know what you like to do. You like to take it in the.
Our feature presentation.
First of all, that's true.
Who doesn't?
Second of all, Lisa, what up?
Well, I feel very lucky to be here today.
What does it mean, what up? Why?
I was in pretty significant car accident yesterday.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, I was rear-ended, which is where that call came from, by a double dirt hauler.
Oh, my God. Huge and heavy, right?
Yeah, you see that thing in your rearview mirror, slamming on the brakes, jackknifing, and you're like, oh, no.
Did you have to slam on your brakes because of somebody in front of you?
I was completely stopped on a surface street
because
the person in front of me was going to make a left and was waiting for traffic to clear, and this guy came up, didn't see us, and, you know, I could tell, he's coming too fast.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, the dust come up from the tires when he hit the brakes, and he tried to turn and slammed
and
into the back of my Prius.
Your plastic Prius?
Yep.
Didn't really help?
I hit the car in front of me.
Oh, man.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You all right?
So you were sandwiched.
I was sandwiched. It was weird because I've been in accidents before, and you know your adrenaline is just going through you, and you can't think. And I mean, I was having trouble kind of processing. We're writing down all our information, and the police come, and all that. And there was at some point I was like, I don't know where my stuff is. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know anymore what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you're in shock a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes a long time for your mind to kind of get around the whole thing, you know?
And really, I keep seeing that in my head, like that truck
course,
in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
But,
now, I'm trying to visualize. I'm not as familiar with the heavy equipment, perhaps, as you are. But this is like a construction, like something you would use for construction to dig giant holes in the ground? Is that what it is?
No, they carry all the dirt, so they're huge.
So it's like a dump truck. Kind of.
It's a cab that's carrying two trailers that are open on top, and that's where they would pile the dirt.
Oh, I got you. Okay,
and there's
right.
two of those, but they were empty. If they had been full, I think I'd really be
dust.
Let's
just say it this way. It's 100 times as heavy as the Prius.
As the little plastic car, right?
At least, yeah.
So you're, by the way, God, thank God you're okay. I mean, obviously, when I first saw your tweet, I was like, oh, no. But, you know, the fact that you're here today, obviously, that's a good sign. But you were looking in your rearview mirror and had some heads up that it was coming? So
yes.
Did you kind of tense up? Because sometimes they say it's better if you don't know it's coming because your body is much more relaxed and accepts the impact better.
I'm sure I must have. And I went straight to the chiropractor when I got home. And he asked about, because he was like doing a massage thing and trying to loosen everything up and rubbing my arms. He's like, I said, that feels so good. Stop it. He said people tense up, you know, they grab the wheel really hard.
Yeah, at the moment of impact.
Yeah,
right.
And so like your shoulders and your arms are going to be super sore. And your legs too, because you really like push on the brakes.
Right. And because of the adrenaline, it could take a day or two before you actually start feeling.
Yes.
Right.
All
right, exactly.
And my neck started hurting, my upper back, my head, you know, really
sweet.
Terrible headache.
So you were pushed instantly into the car ahead of you, and did it happen in slow motion for you? Were you thinking, no, like, don't make it any worse than it is, I'm already getting hit?
I think I didn't even realize I hit the car in front of me. It felt like just one big impact, and I really did think the way that, because I kind of did try to move to the left, but there were cars coming the other way, so I couldn't go far.
What a mess.
And I thought, maybe I've just gotten just far enough, and he went that way just enough that it's not going to hit me, and then boom!
At some point, you just go, all right, this is going to happen.
Yep.
It's going to be an accident.
I'm not in control of anything right now. I'm just going to hold on and see what happens.
So the guy in front of me gets out, and I said, did you stick around because you witnessed it? And he said, no, you hit my car.
Oh, nice.
Like, oh.
Sorry about that.
Wow. Sorry.
All right. How much damage do you think? Can your car get fixed?
It's a plastic
Prius.
I mean, what's it worth? Like $2,000?
Lisa's only had it for what?
Six or four months?
Yeah, 6 months is all you've had it, too. That hurts. Last question on this, and I'm so glad to hear you're okay again, but did the guy have insurance?
Yeah, he did. He has good insurance because he's a professional truck driver.
Oh, right. Okay.
But the guy in front of me didn't. But that's okay because I hit him. So
right. Gotcha.
He's actually all right.
Right.
I did go to Twitter when I saw your what happened to you, Lisa, and I tried to help you out. I don't know if you saw this or not.
I did see that.
But I did say Lisa's been in an accident. She's okay, but she would feel better if she's got some new penis photos. If you could help her out with that, I gave your email address.
Right.
I hope that came through for you.
I got some full moon photos.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Which
nice.
Which is a nice
right.
switch up, I thought. It kind of made me smile.
It really does kind of cheer her up. So that's why Bean does that. I mean, I think it's a very thoughtful.
Why does
I think
mooning
so
just always make you smile? Is it like butts look like they're smiling?
I don't know, really. I don't know. It's not, I don't know why.
But it does.
It is good. No question.
Well, I had several listeners immediately tweet me back at when I said, please send penis photos to lisa@kerek.com. They tweeted back, I'm on it. So it sounded like they were taking it seriously and they were going to go immediately and get that done.
Yeah, so. I got about 100 tweets. So
all right.
That was good. Thank you, Bean. Always
put
thinking
up a
of
gallery.
Me.
Always thinking of you. Exactly.
Put up a gallery of things that cheer you up.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
No, I don't want to go to a party in your pants.
Wait. Just wait. Okay. Don't make that decision yet. Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Radio. We have Cousin Sal talking about his NFL picks.
Mm-hmm.
Not so good, by the way. Not so good.
He was doing so good for a while.
Michael Williams, who plays Chalky on Boardwalk Empire, is going to be on the program. We're going to talk a little bit more about Michael Jackson's deathbed, the bed that eats.
Can I tell you one thing about Michael K. Williams before we move on?
Sure.
That I didn't know until yesterday? The scar? Real.
Oh, really?
Knife fight
tough
on his 25th
dude.
Birthday. The scar
Love
is
it.
Real. Because, I mean, he's such a badass with that scar. And I just think, wow, how did that happen? You know, you just feel like it has to be part of the character. It's a real thing, dude. So let's be careful.
Okay.
Let's be careful with him in here today. Let's be respectful.
One of our favorite artists of all time has come out with another song. R. Kelly has come out with another song. And it's spectacular.
He did not disappoint?
Well, it's about having surgery on his throat. And
is he trapped anywhere?
He's not trapped. No, he just had surgery on his throat.
Okay.
And he's fine now, and that's the song.
That's
I sure didn't listen to it,
song.
By the way. I wanted to enjoy it. I wanted to enjoy it for the first time on the radio.
He is unbelievable. He thinks everything he does is a song. I mean, you know, what happened to Lisa yesterday was a unique, way out of the ordinary, crazy thing. But
I was sitting in my car, and the truck came up behind me.
No. But he wouldn't write a song about that because it's too big.
Oh, I see.
He would write a song about, like, the day before when you were brushing your teeth. That's a song for him. So I can't wait to show you some highlights of that. We have thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Excellent.
How dare you?
Talking to the president of UFC, Dana White, coming up in a few minutes.
Okay.
Nice.
The movie beat. And we also have Twilight world premiere tickets.
Woohoo!
So keep listening for your chance to
win. And by
those.
The way, we've been giving away all week. Now that people are already lined up for this thing that doesn't happen until Monday, that tells you how special this ticket is to get to win it on the, you know, to be on the red carpet with the stars and see the movie 4 days before it opens. There are people camped out who aren't even going to the movie who are just there to see the stars, and you're going to be on the carpet with them.
And it's Friday, which that's a long time till Monday night.
Yeah. It sure the hell is.
Man, oh man. What losers, right? Who's with me?
I'm
not saying anything.
I asked a question there. All right, we'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:53.
Brief reminder here on the Kevin and Bean Show, if you think you have what it takes to be Miss Double December 2012, the deadline to get your entry and photos to us is 1 week from today. It's the end of next Friday's show.
Yes.
Getting some good entries in, by the way.
Hurry.
Looks like competition's going to be good again this year, Ralph.
I know.
We're nothing to look at. So what we do is we do Miss Double December, and she gets to go to pretty much every event next year. So all of Acoustic Christmas at the end of this year, and then Weenie Rose, singles parties, everything. You get to represent us. Wherever we go, you go.
That's the bad news.
For you.
Yeah.
For us, that's the good news. For you, that's the bad news. Right.
Right. You can go to Carrick.com or KevinandBean.com right now and submit your entry, please. And then the deadline next week, and then we pick the top 10, put them up the website, the listeners vote, and then we crown a new Miss Double December at the Slide Bar, Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fulton. That is one of our best live shows of the year, and it's going to be happening on a Friday, December 2nd this year.
Yeah. I got an email about the event, and I do want to let the listener know that yes, we understand your concern, and please know that we do not let Bean have much consideration when we choose. So that way we're sure not to get an 84-year-old in there.
How dare you? Well, we make him think he does.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, you got to placate him.
I'd just like to say one thing about the suggestions that I've seen so far, and that is that if you're going to send in a photo for Miss Double December, Miss Double D, I don't know, face shot only? Not really what we're looking for.
We need proof that you can enter this contest.
Pretty tough to judge from the chin up.
Three-quarter is at least what you should be giving us, if not a full length.
Yeah. You gotta know that about this, so make sure that you send those photos in.
Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. What's going on?
Well, we called it yesterday when we talked about the fact that Brett Ratner and Eddie Murphy had backed out of the Oscars, and we suggested perhaps Billy Crystal was in conversations to coming back to host the Oscars yet again, and it turned official yesterday when Billy Crystal announced he will be returning to host the Oscars with new producer Brian Grazer.
That's the power of this show, man.
That is good news for those of us who watch the Oscars. Yeah. I think that Billy will be back for his, I think it's his ninth turn as host.
I was not thrilled with this news, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. Noted.
So the best host of... In the history of the Oscars.
Not good enough for you.
No, it's not that. It's just that look, he's going to be great, I'm sure. But it's such a safe pick. I was excited that they picked Eddie Murphy because there was now a question of what was going to happen that night. With Billy Crystal, you know what you're going to get, and it's going to be good. But, Ricky Gervais, for instance, to me, blows away the concept of a Billy Crystal hosted Oscars.
That won't happen.
I hear.
No, I know it won't. But you know what I'm saying? Or even, even somebody else that we haven't seen before. I was just excited about something new. That's all.
Yeah, but when there's 2 minutes left on the clock and it's fourth down territory and you've just lost your producer and your host,
right?
You're lucky to get a Billy Crystal to be able to come in.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Not blaming him.
Well, you are. You're,
no, I'm just
I'm
saying,
not excited about this choice. It was the best possible thing they could have done in the situation.
I was disappointed because I would rather see Tina Fey and Amy Poehler host the Oscars. You know, somebody we haven't seen before who are hilarious and very hot right now. Billy Crystal.
Bean hates
Billy
the Oscars.
Crystal, he does.
Look,
back to you, Ralph.
As long as the president of the Academy comes out and makes his speech, I'm fine.
No, Tom Sherrick will be there, absolutely.
Oh, that's such good TV.
He'll give you a nice lengthy speech, I'm sure.
Love it.
Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news yet again today. Some are saying there is now more evidence that this entire wedding was BS, staged, and that the divorce was part of the shenanigans.
Really?
I don't doubt it for a second.
The December issue of Marie Claire magazine is now circulating. It shows Kim Kardashian on the cover, and the headline has lots of people talking about it because it says what went on in her crazy marriage and how it went south. Here's the thing. The Marie Claire magazine, they go to bed with their issue as it's going to be printed approximately 3 months in advance.
Really?
Yeah. So that means they must have had this interview approximately 2 to 3 months ago. And she just filed for divorce 11 days ago. So how does a slick publication like Marie Claire, they said if 11 days ago they decided to scrap the cover and whatever interview they had in for that issue.
Right.
Pull it, change it, redo it. It would cost them $100,000 just to make that change.
Wow.
And they said Marie Claire is not, and no magazine really is in a situation to be able to do that. See, Time magazine, when there's a breaking news, doesn't bother to scrap it and pick up a breaking story and redo their cover because it's just too expensive.
So they knew it was coming from...
So they're pointing this, saying somehow there must have been some prior knowledge of how this thing was going to play out for Marie Claire magazine to be able to have this cover.
How about
that? Interesting story. Now, that's not proof positive, of course, but Marie Claire isn't commenting, and neither is porn star Kim Kardashian's camp, so we'll have to wait and see. It'd be nice if there was a smoking gun at some point where they could, it'd be proof positive that the whole thing was a sham, and I really think that would just be
that would be awesome.
It would just sink their ship, which just would be the most entertaining thing ever. Could Mel Gibson be the father of yet another baby with another mistress?
Sure hope so.
There is a reality television star, I put that in quotes, named Laura Bellizzi. She was on, as you may, you all remember, VH1's Secrets of Aspen back in 2010. we all loved that show. Anyway, she is now pregnant, and she is claiming that Mel is the father. Now, sources close to Mel Gibson say it's physically impossible for him to be the father.
And claims
the story is untrue. I'm guessing that means he's had a vasectomy since his last baby.
Or they're claiming he wasn't anywhere near her, doesn't know her, didn't have sex with her.
Or things aren't working.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't think they would say it was physically impossible if he was just claiming not to know this woman. There must be some sort of proof positive on their end where he is incapable of fathering a child, I would think. Maybe he lost his penis. Maybe that happened. Maybe he had a horrible penis accident.
Misplaced it?
Maybe he was back-ended by a double dirt loader, and his penis just came right off in his Prius.
Oh, that might have been a euphemism from Lisa. I didn't think about that.
So, of course, they're expecting a paternity suit to be filed sometime soon, and we'll all get to watch that play out.
I hope she has already bought a tape recorder for her phone calls.
Me too.
It is physically impossible for me to be the father, you bitch. I will hit you with a baseball bat.
I will believe that, because it seems to be the truth.
Yeah.
Now we got two Maury Povich's back to back.
That's right. He's going to have a good week.
Can't wait.
Dr. Drew's so angry they're not on Life Changers. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Stanley Tucci. One of my favorites. Such a talented guy. 51 years old today. Demi Moore is a skinny 49 today. Calista Flockhart isn't even skinnier, 47.
Yeah, she needs help. She needs a meal.
Leonardo DiCaprio celebrates his 37th birthday today. New York Jets quarterback, former USC QB, of course. Mark Sanchez is 25 years old today. And just a heads up to you Harry Potter fans, released on Blu-ray and DVD today, other than usual Tuesday, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 is available today if you want to check that out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Huge weekend for the UFC. The fights are going on as normal for people who want to see them that way. But the heavyweight fight is going to be on Saturday night on free TV on the Fox Television Network. We'll talk to the president, Dana White, coming up in about 10 minutes or so about how that's all going and what to anticipate for this weekend. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Now, look, a lot of people tweet. And, you know, sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's neither. But at least you try.
Right.
I mean,
you
try. The effort is there.
Right.
You try to make it interesting for people who follow you. Most people try to make
Now, do you feel you do that?
I would say I try, yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's surprising. Okay, how about you, Ralph Garman?
Yes, yes. I always try to make it entertaining.
You don't always succeed.
No, of course not.
But that's the effort. There are a lot of times when I think, hey, I should tweet that, and I go, you know what? Not really very interesting to anybody else, so I'm not going
to. Yeah, what I do is I try to consider the audience that's reading the tweet
right.
versus my own indulgent sort of Twitter masturbation.
That's right, what this is. Where's all this headed?
This is all headed for
That's that tweet.
Bean.
Yeah. This is, thanks for that tweet, Bean. Bean is not good when it comes to this.
Oh my God. Did you guys just see Kenny Loggins on the CMAs? He had that surgery Kenny Rogers had where he now looks nothing like himself.
Did you see
that tweet?
Bean. Kenny Loggins, though, with the crazy plastic surgery. Okay. Worth a mention.
Who was watching the CMAs?
No one cares.
Who cares about Kenny Loggins?
In your
millions
audience.
Of Americans?
Yes.
Yeah.
He came out
to do Footloose with Blake Shelton, the guy who did the remake for the movie.
Oh, that tweet. It just gets worse when you ask him about it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We forgot to clarify this at the beginning. We're not looking for further clarification because what you tweet, for the most part, we fully understand. And yet we're rejecting it.
Okay, but if
so
you
for
had
you
seen,
to come on and say, hey,
right,
it was
I
on a TV
that.
Show. Okay.
But if you had seen Kenny Loggins on TV and thought how crazy different he looks because of the plastic surgery, that's the type of thing you might have mentioned to a friend, you might have mentioned to your wife, you
nope.
might have come in the next day at work
nope.
and mentioned it to
nope.
people.
Nope.
It's an interesting observation
may
about something
may have said it out loud
that,
if I was watching it on screen when it happened.
With your wife or someone. Yeah.
But would not go to Twitter and not, post it. Never.
Not for a second.
No.
When was he big? 80s?
Yeah, most people probably don't 1980s? Even remember what he
right.
looks like.
So we're just saying stop it.
As a Christmas music enthusiast...
F you to begin with.
I am surprised only two holiday albums have ever debuted at number one on the Billboard chart. Congrats, Justin Bieber.
Don't give yourself clapter.
Thanks for that
tweet. Did I say clapter?
Now I would tweet that.
You
tweet like
something
that? Ralph got in high school.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Only two holiday albums have ever made it to the top
of
the chart.
Hey, Bean, hold on. Hold
Justin
it right
Bieber
there.
Did
hold,
it this
hold
week.
Hold it right there. Hold on, hold on. That's what Ralph just read from your tweet. And we understood every word. Only two have debuted at number one. Justin Bieber did it. Got it.
I was impressed. That's all.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean. I hope there's some sort of real world heaven show where Andy Rooney, Joe Frazier, and Heavy D all have to live together.
Because they all
Thanks
die
for that
tweet.
Bean.
On consecutive
Stop
days.
Starting your sentences with because.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Because when
I
you
thought,
say
what are the
because, that means, hey, maybe they're not fully aware of what the story is.
I'm explaining why. Okay.
India is a great country. No shame in being there. Why does every customer support phone person make up an Anglo name?
You guys
Thanks
are with
that
me on
tweet.
That. Bean.
I find
you,
it funny.
You guys have all been there. Hello, my name is Jason.
Yes.
I mean, you've had that call, right? You
yeah.
know what that's like.
I find it funny, but I don't then, you know, store it and then go tell my friends. And then if I get a reaction from them, go to Twitter. I mean, that's just one of those things.
And
that,
we know why.
So, I tweeted
so
it because
idiots can understand the name.
I was on the phone for 90 minutes with a customer service person.
That's that
tweet.
I have plenty of time.
Imagine helping Bean with some kind of a technical issue. Oh my God.
I had a time change last weekend in France. Another one today in America. I hope to go back in time far enough to before auto-tune.
Wow.
See, because it's like I'm going,
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
I wish you'd go back in time before you.
Before Twitter would be good.
Damn! Is there nothing Andy Rooney isn't quitting lately?
Thanks for that
tweet.
That was about 15 minutes after it was announced that he died. That was the port there. Because he just quit 60 Minutes last month, and now he's quitting life.
See,
Come
the,
on.
Here's the problem, though, Bean. That
deserves some clapter.
That was almost funny, but we're afraid to give you props for that because then you think all the other ones are worth it too. You know what I mean? So no. Say no.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean. Wow. Led Zeppelin 4 is 40 years old this month. I bet not even one single day has gone by where it hasn't been played on a radio near you.
Really?
I'm just saying that.
Thanks for that
tweet.
We know what you're saying.
Staying power for
we
an
know
album
what
to come
you're
out.
Saying.
Wait, you're and saying Led Zeppelin gets played a lot on the radio? Thank God you gave us the heads up on that via your Twitter.
Probably every day for 40 years.
Yeah, we
though.
Understand.
Yeah, probably.
How remarkable
Led Zeppelin's
is that?
Played a lot on
we
radio.
It. We got that.
Got
but,
it.
But what we're saying is we all sort of knew that
just
before you.
That's all.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, any tober seemed to last forever, but now it's over just like that.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
These are all courtesy laugh, Lisa.
These are all word for word, right, Ralph?
Yeah, yeah. This is verbatim. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not laughing with the tweet. I'm laughing at the tweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, I believe we're out of time.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
We have to go.
Do this follow
all day.
Bean at your own peril. That's the moral of the story.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Friday means lots of good things on the program, including Adam Carolla this week in Rage today. Ralph will be here with the movie beat. I think the new Leonardo DiCaprio movie, The J. Edgar, comes out today, which I've been very much looking forward to. Cousin Sal will be here to talk football for the weekend, too. All of that straight ahead. Whatever.
Who knew today would be like Christmas Day? You wake up and you go, wow, I didn't know it was Christmas Day. This is great.
Why is that?
R. Kelly has a new song out. And
R. Kelly.
I don't know if you remember R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. We went through in depth. There were like 22 chapters, and he told this ridiculous song over the whole thing. Here's a little of that.
Pastor Rufus Lones comes home to find his wife been sleeping around with Sylvester. Oh, Sylvester's cell phone rings. He comes out of the closet pointing his Beretta. Oh, then they go through this thing, arguing, fussing, then time goes by. And then Kathy finds out about Rufus' lover, Chuck, the gay guy. Oh, sh**. And then Sylvester calls home, never knowing that a man would answer his phone.
So, I don't know if you remember that or not. And if you don't,
okay, let me say kidding? This about R. Kelly, though.
If you don't get it.
Well, absolutely. Yes. And there's a video, too. Yes, you can actually get it on DVD. It's terrible. Trapped in the Closet is terrible. I appreciate the ambition of him trying to do a 22-part soap opera.
Though. I do, too. Swing and a miss, but you got to appreciate trying.
And look, R. Kelly is, I don't know if you guys know this or not, the most successful soul artist, R&B artist of the last 25 years.
Is
I mean, the guy
really?
Is the biggest. Yeah, I mean, he's had dozens of hit singles, you know, tons of platinum albums, tons of Grammys. I mean, the guy is, you know, in some respects a genius. He's written and produced for just everybody you can imagine in the business.
But does
Janet
it all
Jackson,
come back?
Britney Spears, Mary J. Blige, everybody.
Does it all come back to I Believe I Can Fly, that song? Because, well, I mean, wasn't that...
That was his biggest hit, but he had a lot of hits even before that. Uh-huh. I remember he had Bump and Grind was one. I mean, he had a bunch of hits. But anyway, he's back with a new record. And Kevin, I think what you said earlier is probably true. He's at the point now where he's maybe a little bit too goddamn introspective.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
where everything that's going on in his life now seems to be worth a song. And I guess he had some tonsil surgery earlier this year. There were some rumors that he had throat cancer.
Yes.
And apparently that is not true. But there were people who counted him out who said, that's it. R. Kelly's done. And I guess his new song is kind of an answer to those critics who thought he was washed up.
His new song, Shut Up?
Yeah.
he pretty much just now just says what's going on in his life, and to him that's a song. You have to hear this
particular.
This song goes out to all the people out there that be running their mouth.
Yeah. Tell them who it's about.
And they don't know what.
I like it so far.
They saying, shut up.
Shut up.
Here it comes.
Now that I've got my voice back, let me start off by saying that I appreciate the fans around the world that had my back. And I just want to thank God upstairs for keeping his hands on me and keeping all the doctors focused through my surgery.
Okay, can you stop for one
second? Wait a minute.
This is a blog post.
Yeah,
this
right.
isn't a song. This is a letter to my fans on my blog is
right.
what it is.
Right.
It right?
Very few rhymes. It's not really a song.
I mean, are people going to buy it and sing along?
No,
I can't.
Now, there's a couple of things I got to get off my chest. Some serious issues that I must address, so... Well, let's just get right to it. People say that I was gone.
All right, so now he starts getting into what all his critics are saying.
Okay.
And then he's going to tell them, shut up.
Said there was no way this time he's going to overcome. And even before the doctors was done and I could awake, a tsunami of rumors had come to wipe my career away. After 22 years of a blessed career, it had me lying in my hospital bed crying mad tears. Woo-hoo. But just as I had many people hating me, I had so many people loving me. And let's not forget the hood around the world covering me. And to everybody that be calling me, telling me what they be saying about me, bringing me all of this negative shit. Y'all the ones I ain't with. It's time for me to evaluate the people that I let up in my space. Can I get a witness to all of this when people all up in your business?
All right, so...
a lot of words so far. So far, I feel like the song hasn't even started yet. I feel like this is all a preamble to the Constitution.
All you people that have been saying bad things about me, I'm going to say now to you...
Shut up, tell them, shut up, tell them, shut up.
I'm talking to you.
Tell them no.
Shut up.
Tell them all.
Shut up.
Tell them all.
Shut up and tell them.
I'm talking to you.
He's washed up.
Is there... If a second grader can write a song, maybe you should go back and try again. I mean, really, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, is like what a little kid says.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't gone right to, I know you are, but what am I?
Oh, that's the follow-up. I can't wait.
He's lost it. He ain't got it no more. Well, I'm here to tell you today, boy, you haters are so slow.
Yeah, let me explain something about haters, because this is a popular thing. Oh, they're just the haters. They're just, you know, Jersey Shore?
Mm-hmm.
It's just haters.
It's just haters,
they
yeah.
just hate because I'm successful.
Right.
That's why people hate me. Now, you know what? Some people are hateable. And they hate you because you're hateable.
Right.
Not because you're successful or for any other reason. Every time people hate doesn't mean it's you're in the right.
It's
and
jealousy.
They're jealous and they just hate. No, maybe you deserve to be hated.
And it saddens me to know some of y'all want me to go away. But when it's time for me to go, my God is going to orchestrate you. Until then, I will accept the stones, pray and just try to get along. But sometimes it's so hard for me to be strong. See, I got kids and I'm trying to love them. So many things I'm trying to juggle. But I never thought this music would become my struggle. Oh.
So,
it's just killing him that anybody said, oh,
yeah,
he might not sing
probably,
again?
Probably.
It sounds like it.
And did he write this or just show up and just start verbal diarrhea? I mean, do you think he's just making it up as he goes?
You know what some people do when people say that is they just continue their career and show them that way.
Right, sure.
Well, I mean, look, no artist is beloved by everybody. You're always going to have people who don't like you and don't like your stuff. But what you do is you go, hey, look at the millions of people over there that are fans of my work. Maybe I'll just concentrate on them instead.
No, shut up. That's what he says. Shut up. And by the way, this isn't just about his music either. I mean, there was that whole peeing on his goddaughter thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to get technical, yeah, maybe that.
The news said I lost my house. My own people put me down. And my friends no longer around. No. But you see deep underneath the surface. And I feel something's working. In my behalf, a victory is near, yeah. See, my future ain't my past. It's not the end of the hourglass. Who said it would not last? Fans sick, they
shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up,
tell them.
Shut up,
I'm talking
to you.
Shut up,
shut up,
shut up,
shut up,
no.
Shut up.
Message received, I guess.
Now, B.
Yes.
You know music, you're much better at guessing. This is going to be a hit, isn't it?
I don't think so.
You don't?
I don't think so. I mean, I think what this is...
I hope you're right, but...
I don't think it will be hit. I don't think it has staying power, but what I think it is that this is just his, hey, thought I was gone, you're wrong, I'm back, here's my statement. I think that's all this is intended to be, is just like, instead of putting it up as a blog post, I think he decided to release it so that he gets his message out there, addresses his critics, and now he'll settle in and make a real record.
We're talking now. I'm talking to you. Now seriously, after all these hits and melodies and memories, you compare me to someone else. OMG.
Okay, now here's where he gets into his OMG chunk. Where he uses OMG, I don't know, five times in a minute.
Do you think when he said that you compare me to somebody else, OMG, do you think he's talking about comparisons to Usher maybe?
I don't know who they compare him to.
Because that's Usher's big number one hit, OMG. That's why I
bring
that up.
Oh, I see.
I thought maybe that was a reference to that.
Very possible, but he keeps going back to it.
Now, no offense to the other artists, but come on, dog. Let's be honest. How many babies been made off me? OMG. Seriously? You're going to act like that? Sit there like it ain't no truth to that.
So you're saying there's a beef. We got a beef going.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm hearing this for the first time. Do not know.
Usher and R beefing.
Looking at me like I ain't talking stats. OMG. Every boy, every girl, every child around the world, from the 90s up until the day, will say all me.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Sing it, everybody.
Shut up.
Shut up.
I'm talking to you.
Shut up. Oh.
Shut up.
Shut up. Oh.
Shut up.
About my life.
Shut up.
About my life.
I'm talking to you.
If the truth
is ruling
with
come
me.
Come on, this is going to be a hit, man.
I do love that every baby around the world was made off of me, meaning that no sex was had unless my music was playing.
That's correct, yes.
Just shut up.
Got about 20 seconds.
Shut up. Shut up.
Now he's doing the Halloween spooks things.
Sounds like it.
So there you go. That's your new R. Kelly.
How about that? We are your official station for R. Kelly, that's for sure.
Shut up.
All right, got it. All right.
tell them,
we got
shut
it.
Up.
Okay.
I'm talking.
I'm talking to you.
We shut up.
We,
shut up.
We got it.
Shut up.
Shut up.
We got it.
Thank you.
Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 1, in theaters a week from today. You can see it Monday with the stars on the red carpet. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you're a Twilight fan. I believe, am I right, guys? This is our this is it. This is our last batch of tickets.
And when we say this is it, this is it. We mean this is it.
Generally mean this is it. Exactly.
No, but this time, seriously, this is it.
This is it. If you are a Twilight fan, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. You'll have a chance to play a game. I'm warning you, though, it's not going to be easy. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Just keep in mind, the Twihards are already out in force, camping out at LA Live in front of the Nokia Theater in lovely downtown Los Angeles.
How about that?
Now, that's for the world premiere on Monday night.
Right.
Not for the movie opening.
No, not for the movie. But, however, Fandango reports that there are over 1,000 of the earliest shows for the movie around the country that are already sold out. They've already sold out over 1,000 screenings of this movie for opening day.
Oh, my gosh.
Lisa, what are you going to do?
Buy tickets right now?
Yeah.
You won't go to the first show.
Well, I wasn't going to anyway.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were, you twihard.
I was going to come on Saturday.
Uh-huh. Just going to midnight.
Guys, we all, you know, we're admirers of celebrities. We're all fans of somebody. Is there anyone that you would camp out even one night to see in person?
Nope.
No.
No, right?
You mean as far as like a movie star? No.
Anyone. Any kind of celebrity. I don't care who it is, how much you love him. Would you ever camp out overnight to see that person?
Not if I was going to have dinner with them. let alone see them walk down a carpet and me from a distance waving.
Just Nickelback for me.
Well, sure, Nickelback.
Of course. That goes without saying.
So, yeah, people are very excited. And we have tickets where you get to go. Be in the room with the people and see the movie. Not from a distance behind a barricade waving, like those people who are camping out. You will be there at the event. We really should just charge for these. We should just scalp them. Just scalp them and have people pay us, because we could make bank.
Let's not give any away. Let's just go to eBay.
eBay. I like 5 minutes. Kevin and
King of Mexico already has his for the Arc Light, by the way. He has all of his little teenage girlfriends that he goes with.
God.
Yeah.
Not my fault.
It is your fault. You did it. All right, this is odd news. Not surprising, I guess, if you think about it, but still it's disturbing. It kind of hits you weird.
Okay.
That all of the major music labels, the people who release the music we listen to, have announced they are abandoning CDs at the end of next year.
No.
No.
Really?
They will manufacture no more CDs by the end of 2012.
I've heard Bean say no 7 billion times, never with that kind of agony and pain.
So you won't be able to buy a CD anymore after 2012.
But they...
No more CDs. You will only be able to download music.
Not enough of you, Bean.
No more CDs.
Not enough of you.
You might as well tell me they're not making peanut butter anymore.
Isn't that weird that we won't be able to have CDs anymore?
Bean is a guy who has thousands of CDs.
I mean, yes.
I got a couple of hundred.
Yeah.
Look, here's how I look at it. And it's not that I'm old school. I download music also. Yeah, lots of it, right. Okay? But to me, a CD is a backup hard drive for that music. That's why I want it.
Not enough of you, man.
That hurts me. And I also love the experience of shopping in a record store.
I do like the physical aspect of a CD and cover art and the liner notes and the things that, you know, you open up and you can read it. I do enjoy that experience as well when I get music.
That. I don't look at that or use that ever.
Really?
Yeah, I just...
You just rip it and go.
Yeah. I just put it on my computer and then, you know, you put it in your iPod or whatever.
You don't like to read the track listings and the credits and the stuff for involving your favorite music?
Not really.
Well, you're not a guy who looks into things.
That's
really
true.
So much. You're a guy things happen to more than a guy who goes out and seeks information about things.
I've barely scratched the surface, sir, if that's what you're saying.
That is, well, I would say it better, but yes, that's roughly what I'm saying.
That's me.
But I'm just stunned by that. It's like, I mean, talk about
the
end of an era.
It seems like they're rushing it a little bit, doesn't it? I mean... Yeah, it does seem like they're rushing it. Look, there are a lot of people who still buy CDs. That number may be small compared to digital, but that's still a sizable part of the audience you're cheesing off. But I guess there's just a lot less profit in it for record companies to have to physically manufacture them, print up the stuff, ship it out, deal with returns, deal with defects. I don't have to do any of that if it's just digital.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It was funny when we had Weird Al Yankovic in the studio.
Oh, he was great, wasn't he?
He was the best. Oh, it was an amazing day. I think the best interview he probably ever gave him. The best time we've ever had him on this show, I think.
I was off.
Hey, did you get our message?
Yeah, do you know we called you during the interview. I don't know if you got that message or not.
I got the message.
Yeah, did you?
Where Ralph and I rambled for a half an hour and then put Weird Al on and then disconnected
for 2 seconds. Phone? I got the message. All right, you were saying when Weird Al was in.
He was saying it had never been, this is his 13th studio album that he just released. Highest charting studio album ever in his career.
Right.
He said it's the biggest ranking for one of my albums ever.
Right.
And the lowest selling CD he's ever released.
How about that?
Which goes to show you the state of CDs now.
Now, is that because you can get individual tracks? I would imagine that's the biggest. That's the biggest
thing,
I would imagine, is you can get individual tracks, so you don't need to buy the CD.
My problem, though, has always been, not to get in a long tirade about this, even though I'm already out of time. Yes, you can get the individual tracks, and that is an advantage for people who like to, you know, an eclectic mix of music. However, I found it throughout my life that I have discovered some of my favorite songs from artists buried on the CD that I never would have had exposure to and never would have known to buy if I hadn't purchased the whole CD.
Well,
open up a blog.
Yeah, I suppose there's that. But if I just get the hit, if I get the thing I heard on the radio,
I
get the thing that my friend recommends, yes, I have that song, but I'll never find that buried treasure on, you know, towards the end of the CD that some of my favorite songs of artists have been found that way.
You could still buy the whole album.
Yeah.
It's just you can't buy the physical CD anymore at the end of the year.
Anyway, I found that disturbing. Good news for those of us who watch the Oscars. Billy Crystal has stepped up and said, yes, he will host again because, of course, the big brouhaha with Brett Ratner leaving the show and that Eddie Murphy, now Brian Grazer, has stepped in to be the producer. And he's talked Billy Crystal into coming back and hosting again.
Yeah!
For the next Oscars. Billy said the only reason he is accepting the gig is that so that the girl who works behind the desk at his pharmacy will stop asking his name when he goes to pick up his prescriptions.
Sorry, sir, what's your name?
Yeah, so, jokingly said it's about time he raises his profile again, perhaps.
Oh, yeah! Remember when he used to be a movie actor?
Yeah. Movie star. No, a movie actor. A movie star.
Yeah, good point.
Star. Now, Billy who? Fame is fleeting, my friends.
Yes, it is.
Gloria est mundi. That's Latin.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay, I'll look that up.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Stanley Tucci. 51 years old today.
Great and everything.
Demi Moore, 49 years old. Calista Flockhart, 47 years old. Leonardo DiCaprio. Did you say eat?
Eat.
Leonardo DiCaprio, 37 years old today. QB for the Jets and formerly of the Trojans here in Los Angeles. Mark Sanchez turns 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Ralph's got the movie beat coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cousin Sal with his NFL picks for the weekend on the way to, and the great actor Michael K. Williams from Boardwalk Empire will be here too. First, though, it's time for the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning.
Good morning, Edward and Bella.
We are talking about Twilight, the saga, Breaking Dawn Part 1. You get to see it on Monday instead of the following Friday, 1 week from today when the movie actually opens up. We're giving away tickets at krock.com where you can win them right now with the hardest game in the world. Now, usually this is played with musical artists or song titles or something like that. I don't know that we've ever done it for a movie. How's this going to work, Mr. Announcer Man?
We'll be announcing various characters from Twilight. All you need to do is identify the character we announce.
Well, that doesn't sound so hard.
Oh, wait a minute. I was forgot. They're backwards.
Now, it is fascinating to us how much harder that makes the game. It really is not an easy game.
It's the hardest game in the world.
That's right.
I predict no winners today.
All right.
I'm afraid that you might be right. So basically the characters, for anyone who's a fan of Twilight, like the people on the phone right now, I mean, they know that there's a lot of Cullens and there's a lot of Swans. So these are basically all major characters of the Twilight movies. You're just looking for which character we're giving them, right?
We will say a name. It'll be backwards. You tell us what character we've named.
So it's the character's name, not the actor's name. Here we go.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, listen, you can't set it up too much, Mr. Announcer Man.
AC/DC.
I don't know if you're at AC/DC.
AC/DC.
All right. Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Bernie. He's an acting student.
Hey, Bernie.
I can't believe he can watch Twilight if he likes acting.
All right,
hey,
Bernie.
What's up, guys?
Listen up. Listen very carefully. We can only play it for you. Hey, could you pay attention over here, Bernie? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Sorry. Just got in my car.
In your car? Okay.
Okay. Pay attention. Listen closely. We can only play it for you twice. What Twilight character is this? We'll play it backwards twice.
Swear to God, that's a character from Twilight backwards. Here you go. One more time.
Act
like you're giving us an answer.
I'm going to say Jasper Cullen.
Edward Cullen.
Oh. Nice try, though. Thank you for trying. Okay, well, it's not an easy game.
It's not a world! Next up is Lisa. She's in accounting.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Are you ready for your character backwards?
I'm ready.
There you go.
Albuckation.
One more time.
Albuckation.
I have no idea. Jacob Black.
Oh!
Jacob Black.
Look at that. Well done.
How do
well
you have no done. Idea and then get it?
Well, you know, it sounded like owl, so, you know.
Right. Okay. It sounded like owl.
All right.
It did.
All right.
That Hang was on. Her reasoning.
It was.
She is in the drawing. We only have two pair to give away here, but she is definitely in the drawing. She might win. Who's next?
Next up is Brittany. She's a production manager.
Hey, Brittany.
Hi.
You ready for your Twilight character?
Yeah, I'm ready.
There you go.
Nouse. Hello.
One more time.
Nouse. Hello.
Alice Cullen?
Bella Swan.
Oh. Ah, sorry.
Sorry, Brittany.
Nice try, though. Hey, Mr. Announcer Man, is Mrs. Announcer Man crazy about the Twilight movies like all the ladies seem to be?
Yes. Apparently it causes a lot of trouble at our house.
Are you going at the midnight
I'm Team Edward. She's Team Jacob.
Oh, how do you get past that?
We don't even talk anymore.
Who's
next up is April. She's a student at Cal State Los Angeles. Go Mudhens.
April.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yes.
There you go.
Nous. Ilrush.
One more time.
Nous. Ilrush.
She hung up. Hello?
Rosalie Cullen.
Charlie Swan.
Oh. Okay. All right. All right, listen, we're into sudden death right now. Lisa is going to win tickets. We need a second person to give tickets to for the Monday Red Carpet World Premieres, Mr. Announcer Man.
Hey, Lisa, you already won.
Yay!
Nicely done. Hold
That's
on.
Awesome.
All right, the next person that gets it. Who do we have?
Next up's Jeannie. She works at a hospital.
All right. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, you are.
Hi.
A lot of confidence coming from her already. All right, listen up. Here's your Twilight character backwards.
One more time.
Oh,
God.
Not very easy.
No, it's not.
It's like someone throwing up.
I want to say Jasper Cullen.
Dr. Oh. Carlisle Cullen.
Oh. Okay. Close. Oh. All right, Mr. Announcer Man, pick a lucky one. Who do you got?
I like Sandy. She's in sales. Sell it, girlfriend.
Hey, Sandy.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You get this right, you win. You ready?
Okay.
Nilok him set.
One more time.
Nilok him set.
Emmett Cullen.
Esme Cullen.
So she was wrong.
She was right. Incorrect.
She was close, though. God damn, how many Cullens are there, Lisa? What's the deal here? This is the biggest family in the world.
9,000 Cullens.
A lot of damn Cullens.
Yeah. She was close, though. She was close.
Liliana, student at Cypress College. Go Muskrats!
Are they the Muskrats?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Liliana, you ready?
Yes.
There you go.
Nilok Silat.
One more time.
Nilok Silat.
Get it right, please.
Leah, I don't know. Leah.
Oh. Alice Cullen.
Oh. Okay. Sorry.
All right. All right, who's next?
Next up is Natalie. She's in medical records. Who cares? Move on.
All right, Natalie, hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Are you ready for yours?
I'm ready.
Get it right. Here we go.
Nilok Dimmick.
One more time.
Nilok Dimmick.
Esme Cullen?
Oh. Okay, oh, yeah, but that's the thing. She Jesus. Already said that.
Dang it.
The other girl said Emmett when it was Esme, and now you said Esme when it was Emmett.
Sorry.
We already said Esme. We gave that wrong as an answer.
Is it Emmett Cullen?
Who's the expert around that?
Next up is Mary. She's new.
Hi, there, Mary.
There can't be this many people in Twilight.
No, there are.
We've named them all.
Nope.
All right, you ready?
Hello?
Are you ready, Mary?
Yes.
I don't have high hopes for Mary. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's do a...
One more time.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's do a...
I don't know. Rosalie Cullen.
Rosalie Hale.
Let's get a ruling on that, Lisa. Does Rosalie Hale become a Cullen at some point in the movies?
She is a Cullen.
Yes, she is.
Is that what happens?
Why is her name Hale?
Why is her name Hale, then?
They call her Hale because they have to separate the kids, or else their story is that they're adopted. So they
As far as I'm concerned, you're going to the movie.
You
we're
just
done.
Want the game to be over.
That's a win. That's a win.
Thank you, Mr. Duffman.
Upon further review, the call on the field stands. Touchdown.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man. We appreciate it.
That blew.
If I can make a request, let's just have the regular movie beat now and not the hardest movie beat in the world, can we?
Doing it all backwards. I'm talking about all the movies backwards.
That seems difficult.
Yeah.
You don't watch him, though, right?
No.
All right. Let's get into it, shall we?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It's embarrassing that I have to explain this again, but anyone can go to a movie, watch it, and then tell you what they think about it.
That's what everyone does.
That, then they can give you their opinion based on the film.
What are you basing your opinion on?
Sheer conjecture.
You're just guessing.
I'm looking at some photos, the title, the trailer, whatever I have at my disposal, and I make a completely uninformed opinion based upon those elements.
Let me ask you a question, Ralph. Do people genuinely get mad at you if you give a movie a good review when it's bad,
yes,
or a bad review when it's good?
Yes.
My
favorite is the people who take my recommendations and say, I went to see that movie that you said to go to this weekend, and it wasn't good at all. I was right back, you know I don't go to see the movies, right? I'm just guessing here. If you want a real review, there are places to find them.
Yeah, go to Rotten Tomatoes if you want a real review.
Oh, speaking of which, well, we'll get into that in a minute. First of all, let's talk about Melancholia. Oh, F this movie.
Oh, I'm so excited about this movie.
Oh, F you and this movie.
What is Melancholia? I've been looking forward to this movie for a year.
Lars von Trier, the effed up weirdo director, directs this effed up weirdo movie starring effed up weirdo actress Kirsten Dunst with her effed up weirdo teeth.
Yeah.
Here's the premise. Oh, a bride and her sister have an estranged relationship that gets more complex because a planet is going to collide into Earth and end the world.
What?
Exactly. F
and
you.
It's all
are
about,
you kidding me?
It's all about the things that they do with what they think are their final hours and the conversations that they have with the people around them, and they bare their souls. It looks great.
Blah, it's blah, death. Blah, blah, blah. Of course that's why people like it.
Everyone on the Earth dies? I'm in.
It has to do with a planet.
Get me some popcorn. Yeah, F this movie. Here's Kirsten Dunst, who, by the way, is not a good actress. Can we just all agree on that? Can we just get it out there?
Can we also agree not hot?
No, not hot, not good. How does she keep getting movie roles?
I don't know.
You know how she gets movie roles? Because she was 8 when she got her first one. Everyone's like, you know, for an 8-year-old, she's pretty effing impressive in that Interview with a Vampire movie. Oh, she's okay. But then she grew up, and her talent did not grow up. Her talent stayed 8, and she's now 50, or whatever she is.
I don't think it's 50. But
whatever it is, get thee to a doctor of teeth.
Yes. A dentist, I believe they're called.
Why haven't they come up with a name yet for doctors with teeth?
Or the doctor. She needs some wires things and keys and apparatus and equipment. There needs to be some
the
work.
Headpiece, she needs the whole thing.
Here is Kirsten Dunst overacting her ass off, as usual, talking, rapsing philosophical about the evil that is the Earth.
The Earth is evil. We don't need to grieve for it. What? Nobody will miss it. But why would Leo grow? All I know is life on Earth is evil. There may be life somewhere else, but there isn't.
How do you know?
Because I know things. Oh, yes, you always imagined you did.
Oh, F everyone involved
Ralph,
in this movie.
She knows things.
And she has one little performance. Peter, why can't we get married? I love you and Spider-Man. And the Earth is evil. No one will miss it. And the Earth can... Die!
I'm going to suggest Bean is lying When he says he's been looking forward to it.
I think this is right up
I don't know
street.
Why you...
If this had a Norwegian mailman in it who plays chess with death or something,
Lars van Trier is... Look, he's a weirdo director, but he's made some great movies. You remember Breaking the Waves? Yes. I'm sure even you saw that, Ralph. That was a great movie. The Celebration was another movie of his that I just adored. Wow, I mean, the guy is really talented.
Did you hear the clip we just played?
Blind Squirrel finds a nut periodically.
That clip did not... do the movie any favors.
He is a pretentious douchebag, and this movie looks pretentious of most.
Bean, you're not actually... You may be excited, but you're not actually...
See, that's the thing, is we have these arguments, and
the
then he
does... The movie's less than me is him.
That's true.
All right. That's true. Jack and Jill opens this
movie. Yeah!
I've never been so filled with rage for a movie before. Every step along the way, I'm angry. Jack and Jill. Adam Sandler plays Jack...
Uh-huh.
And his twin sister, Jill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're Jack and Jill, and they're twins, and she's so annoying, and chaos ensues when she comes and stays for the holidays. Listen to me. Listen up, everyone involved in this motion picture. If you had any decency at all, you'd take your own life. There would be some sort of mass suicide held on that bridge in Pasadena where everybody jumps. Just meet there today at noon, hold hands, and leap to your deaths. You mother effers. By the way, the first time I've ever seen this, Dave, King of Mexico, gave me a heads up. Jack and Jill, the only film I've ever seen, got a perfect zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, my.
On Rotten Tomatoes?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Explain Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes is a website that takes critical reviews from all over the place, the internet and newspapers and magazines.
Hundreds.
Hundreds. And then they extrapolate that information. They give you an average of the positive reviews. And, you know, if something's in the 40s, something means only 40% of the people thought it was good. You know, in the 80s, that means the majority of people thought it was good. This has a perfect zero rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
It almost sounds like I need to go.
No one.
No, based on that.
I want you to go.
It's not being that bad.
Possible that no one gave this movie a positive review.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often where you see a zero. By the way, Melancholia, just in case you're interested, 80%.
Shut 80%
on Rotten Tomatoes.
Shut
just say that.
Well, pretentious movie critics, I'm sure, are just soiling their panties when they go to see it, but it's not for anybody who's human. Jack and Jill.
You're saying yes? Thumbs up on Jack and Jill?
Jack talking about his sister, who's, by the way, she's a handful?
Yeah.
So how long does it take to get a response on one of those computer dating things? I'm new to this.
For someone like her?
What was that? Why'd you say like her?
No, someone like her, like in her 40s, still single, incredibly homely.
Wow, you hate your job, don't you?
I only said that because you said that one time.
I can say that because I'm her twin.
Hey, Jack.
Now, what's this about a twin?
Oh, Jackie has a twin sister.
Are you kidding me? You never told me you had a twin sister?
Nah. I mean, she's...
Identical or fraternal?
Nocturnal, like a bat.
Nocturnal. She's like a bat. That is a horrible joke.
So far, one for me, one for Kevin.
No,
what else you got?
I'm not even going to that.
This one's for me. This one's for Lisa.
Yes.
The Immortals. The Immortals opens up this weekend.
Yeah, too.
This is buff dudes oiled up in loincloths.
There's a lot of that.
Fighting with swords, taking on the gods.
Love it.
This is Greek mythology and gods and sword play and even the metal kind.
Yeah.
guys looking just worked out and running around. Think 300.
Yes.
And that's it. Just think 300.
Yeah, okay.
You'll know what I'm talking about.
You do
about.
Get the idea that we're going to love it, but we would love it more if we were gay.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
I might be a little gay by the time I'm done watching it, because these fellas are exceptional. Especially Henry Cavill, who stars in the film, who will, of course, be Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Later next year, we get to see him in the cape. He comes face-to-face with King Hyperion in this clip, played by Mickey Rourke. And the two of them square off.
Why'd you cover your face?
All are equal in Hyperion's midst. I myself am only a vessel for his demands, nothing more.
I can't hear you, Mickey.
There's little that Mickey, does speak not up. Know. He knows that you have no father.
Mickey!
And like him, you will cast aside.
Take the thing off
people.
Your face.
I
don't
understand. Does he know of my rage? Does he know that I live only to see his blood at the end of my sword? Does he know he butchered my mother?
Now that he's seen your face, he knows.
What's
happening?
Note to Omar, next time you pull a clip for radio,
like
don't make it where one of the characters is wearing a mask. Anyway, it doesn't matter what they say in this film, because it's all about swords and sorcery and killing and slaying and battling and war.
It looks very video game-ish.
I'm all about
great.
Immortals this weekend. And J. Edgar also opens up this weekend. Leonardo DiCaprio plays the legendary J. Edgar Hoover, the man who pretty much single-handedly built the FBI. He was the head of the FBI. Oh, yeah. Well, he had way too much power. I think that's the point of the film, is he has way too much power. He was the head of the FBI, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, under like 8 different presidents. I mean, it was
a long time.
It was a remarkable run he had from his 20s all the way up until his 70s, the time of his death. Rumor has it that he liked the fellas. And which is funny because he would use people's closeted homosexuality against them often in these secret files that he kept on politicians and entertainers to try to manipulate the power struggle that was Washington, D.C. Here is Leonardo DiCaprio making his case for the FBI.
Do you know what all the power of the Bureau of Investigation means without federal laws, without arms, without the ability to make arrests? It means nothing. Mr. Chairman, I urge passage of the Lindbergh Law, making kidnapping a federal offense, to help arm our agents so that they have a fighting chance against the submachine guns of some of the most dangerous characters in the history of American criminality. And I urge you to do this in the name of Little Lindy. Because if he can be taken, then what child is safe?
Leonardo DiCaprio is a great actor.
He is.
However, saddled with really heavy aging makeup and an accent, I get the sense when you're watching this movie, you appreciate the performance, but I would say it's probably hard-pressed to lose yourself in J. Edgar. But sometimes that's okay to go see a movie and just marvel in the hard work of the people involved. And Clint Eastwood directs the film. So he's no slouch. He's no slouch. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. So you can check out J. Edgar this weekend. Me, I'm going to grease up my body. I'm going to put on my leather loincloth.
And go to Jack and Jill.
I'm going to grab my grab my broadsword. Grab it a lot. And go see The Immortals. That's the movie I'm going to check out this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Cousin Sal talks NFL football after the top of the hour. Actor Michael K. Williams joins us next hour as well. Of course, from The Wire, he was Omar. He is Chalky on Boardwalk Empire. The guy is menacing and intense on screen than in real life. He's just a little puppy dog. So I'm very excited to meet him coming up here on The Kevin DeBeat Show. First, though, how about Michael Jackson? How about the auction, Lisa,
yes,
where they're selling all the stuff that was in the house? What's the deal here, Kevin? He was renting a place for his rehearsals for the This Is It tour, right?
Yes. Yes.
And he brought a bunch of stuff from his home at the Neverland and kind of made it just like home. And now you can buy virtually everything that was in that house, all of Michael's final possessions in the last place that he lived, including the bed he died in.
Oh, come on.
No, they're selling it for real. Hang on a second. This ran out. Let me do it again.
So we wanted to find out more about this story, so we asked producer Dave to hook up the hotline to heaven for us. Let's find out what's going on with Michael Jackson, see what he thinks about the auction.
Damn.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good morning. How are you, Kevin B?
Very good, thank you.
Great.
Well, this seems a little macabre that somebody would own the bed that you died in.
And corny, I think. It's corny macabre.
Wow.
Can we put Michael Jackson in the file? Is that even possible?
Put that in the file.
Hey, F you, I'm dead.
Like, what can we do to you?
That's
so
right.
Where you died, the bed that you died in, though, the medication room where the propofol was hanging, that's what somebody can now buy.
I got your propofol hanging right here, by the way. Yes, if you'd like to own the bed that I took my final breath in, you can now put it in your house.
I'm a little afraid of that bed. I'm not exactly sure what moisture has been there.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, I'm the one.
Well,
I'm the person that's gross here.
Yes, you are.
Oh, please.
What moisture was there?
I'm just saying.
No moisture was there. I just slept in it and, died in it, but still. It wasn't like they poured propofol all over me and lit me on fire or something.
Did that happen?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just a bed. I slept there and I peacefully went to the next plane.
Nice.
Now, are you offended by this? Do you feel like you're not being treated respectfully in death, Michael?
It depends on how much they make.
Really?
I see.
They make a lot of money, I won't be offended.
I see, but if it's too low, then you'll be upset.
If it goes for the starting bid, then I've cheesed off.
Yeah.
Because that house was filled with all of my own personal furnishings and paintings and sculptures, art that I cared about, and they're auctioning it all off. I just hope it goes to a good cause.
What's some of the other stuff they're auctioning off besides the deathbed, the bed that eats?
There's a chalkboard that I wrote on in the kitchen with a note for my kids.
A chalkboard?
Oh, yeah. Sweet thing, I guess.
Smile. It says, smile. It's for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The chalkboard's going to go for a lot of money, though. It's not free, which is ironic. The chalkboard will be up for sale. Okay. I got a dartboard up for sale. I got waterboard. All kinds of boards.
What?
What do you mean waterboard?
Who are you waterboarding?
Why would you have waterboards then?
Some kids don't want to play.
What?
I'm just saying. Sometimes they need some convincing.
You have to explain things to them.
Drink the Jesus juice.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. There's a sit and spin that's up for auction.
A sit and spin. Is that a toy, Michael?
No, that's what I call my pants.
Oh, no,
the kids
no,
would
no,
crawl
no.
up on my lap.
Nope.
There's a trapeze that was over the bed.
A trapeze? Okay,
yeah,
that's...
you know, for the monkeys.
Right.
I see. Okay, of course, the monkeys, right.
Some of my personal art, including a mural of Webster wrestling Gary Coleman being refereed by Macaulay Culkin.
I would so buy that.
That is up for auction, too, and I hope you'll all pick it up.
Wow.
I don't think I want
any of that
I'm
stuff.
I'm afraid of the moisture that's on the art.
Look, I'm just saying. You died.
We'll have to check back in with you and see how it does after the big auction happening on December 17th, I guess.
Nope.
That's a free membership just for calling and a free tow just for quoting. Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent. Find one near you at allstate.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I get a free tow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
I have 10 already, but I can always use an 11th.
You never know if one's going to get caught.
I need a tow.
It's a world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the showbiz beat. Then Cousin Sal, Jimmy Kimmel's actual Cousin Sal, talks NFL football right after the top of the hour. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get into the showbiz news, I do want to give away some more of these passes to a very cool event that Kevin and I are going to be participating in next week. It is Thursday, November the 17th, which happens to be my birthday. So San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino said they wanted to throw a giant birthday party for me at the casino.
That's funny. I don't remember that part.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Oh.
So they said, why don't we just throw a giant poker tournament in your honor, Ralph, to celebrate all things Ralph.
I don't remember that either. That's
strange. We'll call it the Garmy Poker Tournament.
That's not what it's called.
Or the K-Rock 10K Poker Play. That, whatever,
yes,
whatever
that sounds familiar.
Whatever, you know, you choose to call it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's me and Kevin hosting the tournament. I forget what it costs to sign up to get into it.
It's nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah.
But you could win $10,000 if you win the tournament.
Correct.
That's a great return on your investment.
Well, you certainly lose nothing if you lose.
That's right. So it's Thursday at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. I believe that it's already full up. I think all of the seats are already taken. But we do have some passes to give away. If you would like to sit at my table or at Kevin's table, we do have passes to give away for the event. So call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller will win a pair of passes to Kevin's table.
There's two just for me. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. The first caller to get through will win a pair of passes to sit at Kevin's table at the tournament. I'll be at another table, and then Kevin will be booted out.
Wipe you people out.
Booted out early from the tournament, and then you'll move on. You'll see me at the last table at the end. That's
I'll be at the cash game on the other side of the casino where
the
losers go.
So anyway, it's Thursday. Thanks to people at San Manuel for putting that together for us. We appreciate it. Here is your showbiz news. Oh, first of all, congratulations to everybody. What a week it's been. All the big... holidays we've been celebrating this week. First of all, on the 9th, November the 9th, was National Scrapple Day. Of course, we celebrated that.
Sure.
Then yesterday, of course, was the anniversary of the U.S. Marine Corps.
Right.
236 years young. So congratulations to them. And today is Nigel Tufnel Day.
That's right.
Happy Nigel Tufnel Day, everybody. Nigel Tufnel Day, of course, the lead guitarist for Spinal Tap.
Sure.
And he has a day?
He has had a day. He has a day, Lisa.
What, you say that like it's not earned?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Easy.
I didn't know. I've
because
never heard of
you
this.
Remember when he was looking at his amplifier, his special amplifier?
Yeah, I do.
Where most knobs go up to 10?
Right. Yeah.
You know what's special about his amplifier?
If you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Yes, these go to 11.
That's what you don't understand.
It's 11, 11, 11 today. These go to 11. It's Nigel Tufnel Day. He only gets a day once every 100 years.
Yeah. This is it, though. Enjoy it today.
Congratulations, Nigel Tufnel. Hey, and Frederick von Anhalt is speaking out again. The prince who's married to Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Oh, Mr. Crazy?
He's running for mayor, you know, of Los Angeles.
Oh, please, God, let him win.
But he said he had to take some time out from his campaign this week because his wife is back in the hospital. He had to put her back in the hospital.
Oh.
94-year-old actress Zsa Zsa Gabor is bleeding from her stomach, apparently, and they had to call paramedics and get her to the hospital. She's had numerous health problems since breaking her hip in July of 2010. But Prince Frederik von Anhalt stepped out this morning and said, she'll be fine. She'll be fine, he said. So nothing to worry about. The 94-year-old who is bleeding internally, she'll be fine.
I like
back
that kind
to the
of
campaign
statement.
Trail.
I like that statement. Don't worry. She's good. She'll be fine.
She'll be fine.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Oh, come on. And great news for everybody but Bean. Billy Crystal has announced he is going to return as host of the Oscars. This, of course, was quite a scramble for them because the producer who was going to be putting the show on had to back out due to some ill-phrased comments he made, perhaps. Brett Ratner is out as producer, and then Eddie Murphy, who was supposed to host for his friend Brett Ratner, also backed out. So they had no producer and they had no host, just months away from the ceremony. Brian Grazer of Imagine Entertainment stepped up, and he said he will produce. And then Billy Crystal, legendary host of the Oscars for many years, he is going to come back and do it. So the show has been saved by many sources close
She'll
to
be
the
saved more if they would cut out about 90% of the categories.
They could trim.
Yeah.
They could trim a
lot.
Bit, but I'm looking forward to seeing Billy Crystal back on stage again. He does a great job with that show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Sanchez, quarterback for the New York Jets, and of course, famously here in Los Angeles for the Trojans of USC, 25 years old today. Leonardo DiCaprio has got that new movie, J. Edgar, in theaters today, 37.
The FBI!
Keep going.
Twista Flockhart, 47 years old today. Demi Moore celebrates her 49th birthday. Stanley Tucci, one of my favorite actors, is 51. And singer-guitarist Andy Partridge of XTC turns 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Michael K. Williams is Chalky White on HBO's Boardwalk Empire. He'll join us in studio in about 15 minutes.
He scares me, by the way. That guy scares me.
He is an incredible actor. He's also on this. He's got a recurring role on Community. I don't know if you're watching Community this season or not, but he also plays a professor on Community, if you can believe it. So the dude could do it all. He joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, it is Friday. That means it's time for Cousin Sal, Jimmy Kimmel's real-life Cousin Sal, who joins us every Friday to talk football. How are you, Sal?
Good, fellas. How you doing?
What are you and the boss doing for his big birthday on Sunday? Do you have a party or anything for Jimmy?
You know what? His lady friend took him away to a secret location, and yeah, so we get a little break. But yeah, we had to shower him with gifts before he left. So
sure. Hey, before we talk about this weekend, I have to ask. I was very disappointed in the Raiders last night. I know they won the game, but there was only one stabbing in the parking lot down in San Diego after the game. That seems pretty low for a Raiders game.
Yeah, and the coach Coach Jackson apologized. They can't keep it up that pace
That's true.
Time they get together.
It's difficult. Yeah. And before we get to the NFL, one other thing I want to tell you is your thing with the kids trick or treating was awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
featured on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. All right, let's talk NFL, Cousin Sal.
Let's do it. And you know what, you guys, it's funny. You played me in with the Foo Fighters, learning to walk again, and
right.
A tear streamed down my face. I'm thinking, I'm going to have to learn to walk again because I've given you 5 out of 6 absolute bombs of picks in the last 2 weeks.
Well, you haven't been good, if that's what you're saying.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm 1-5 over the last 2 weeks, and I had the Chargers last night. So I'm getting all the losing out of the way. But
here's what I like about us, though, is that we keep turning to you.
Yes.
We keep saying, hey, 1-5, tell us what you think this weekend.
Well, the beautiful thing is you could just always go against me. And I told you, I knew this would happen. It would all fall apart.
That's true.
But this is it. I'm going to do it. I'm back on the horse.
Here
First
we go.
Game.
All right. Let's hear it.
Down, boy, down.
There you go. That's not
Archie, is it?
Bucks over the Texans. Tampa Bay, you know, it scares me. It really scares me how much I love this game. Are you guys scared about how much I love this game?
We don't know how much you love this game, but...
Oh, here's how much I love it. Well, look, I don't think we could sign off on the Texans being this juggernaut team. They beat up on the Colts and the Browns and the Jaguars and the Dolphins and... They're basically the NFL's version of a bully. And I don't know what kind of world you guys live in, Kevin and Bean, but in mine, bullying is not tolerated.
That's correct.
And it won't be by the Bucks. They've hired, I think, Gloria Allred as their attorney for this game. And it's an out-of-division game for the Texans. They may be better, but they don't need it as much. Tampa Bay gets out to an early lead. They're good enough. They win 30-20. Take Tampa getting the 3 points.
All right.
See, here's the thing, and this is why Sal suckers us in every week. He sounds so convinced that what he is saying is true that we think, well, the guy clearly knows what he's talking about. Let's put some money down.
Really, I've been told my analysis is bordering on retarded.
Well, as are we, so
yeah.
No problem. All right, that's one.
All right. Steelers and Bengals. Now, the Bengals are a nice story. They're like 6-2. They got rid of most of their criminals. They replaced them with hungry rookies with the eye of the tiger or the Bengals. And they have a redheaded quarterback, which is hilarious. But they're running into the Steelers at the wrong time. A huge loss to the Ravens in the final minutes you probably saw last Sunday night. The Steelers can ill afford to let down again. And Pittsburgh's just playing tough. They're third in the league on defense. The Bengals are 22nd in the league on offense, and they've played a cupcake schedule. Remember when young Daniel LaRusso got cocky on the beach and he was doing the flashy karate move?
No, sure.
Old man Miyagi had to smack him around a bit.
That's true.
That's what happens here. Miyagi, 24, LaRusso, 13. Take the Steelers, give the 3 points.
24-13.
Okay. All right. And finally, I can't believe there's something else to be said about the Indianapolis Colts, but you think eventually, and maybe this weekend, they're actually going to win one?
Well, you know, I have to take a terrible team every week, and this is the Colts' time is up, and they may be the terriblest, but there's not much I could say here other than if Indy wants to avoid looking at 70,000 rednecks wearing paper bags over their heads, they're going to have to win this Sunday or next week because it ain't happening after that if you look at their schedule. I think the Colts get it together this week. They're playing the Jags, who are last in the league in scoring. They have 12 points a game, and the Jags quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, has gone 2 games in a row, which he failed to top 100 yards, and that's abysmal. The Colts still have a pretty good pass rush, and I say they somehow snatch a couple of turnovers and win this one by accident, 23-17. Then they'll go back to being their crap bag selves next week.
You made a reference to something, and I don't know if it was a joke or not, on your Grantland.com blog, Cousin Sal, where you said something about Peyton Manning maybe coming back before the end of the season. Is that just speculation, or have we heard anything about how he's healing?
No, I think they've shut him down completely. I mean, they would be dopes to put him in, even if he was at one. He's mentioned that he could be back on pace for the last 3 games of the year, but I don't know. What do? Do you put him in?
No.
What's the point? No. Yeah, you got nothing to play for. There's no season, right?
It's an odd thing because here they are. They've lost every game, and they're like, all right, yeah, we admit it. We need you back. We need Peyton Manning back. If anything, this proves, if anything, that we're nothing without him. And now all the talk is, yeah, we got to get that Andrew Luck. That's what we're doing. We're drafting a quarterback in the first round. So bye, Peyton. But I don't know. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Well, they do find themselves in a strange situation where they might get to pick first, which is weird for them.
Absolutely. Now, Bean, we had a bet last week, Seahawks and Cowboys. I think, didn't we bet something?
Oh.
Yes. Don't I have to cut off your head? I don't remember how the bet went.
No, that was only if the Cowboys lost. I think you had to sing a show tune or something. No, we didn't agree to that?
I hope so, because I'd like to hear
suggested
it.
Was we were both in studio at a time and you would give me a wedgie, but I had no confidence in Seattle over Dallas, and thank God. So I did not take the bet, Cousin Sal. So we're clean. I'm sorry, sir.
I'll have to listen back. I may have to send an associate over to snap your thumbs off.
Yeah. And by the way, Sal will do that. Just so you know.
Believe me, I know. He knows people. You can go to Grantland.com, which is the Bill Simmons website that's just phenomenal, and it covers so much more than sports, and Sal puts his picks and a lot more up there. And of course, you can look for him on Jimmy Kimmel Live on the TV and the website. Follow him on Twitter at TheCousin. And Sal. Have a fantastic weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sal. Take care.
Bean, what do you think of when I play this?
I think it feels all of a sudden like Sunday night. I'm on my couch ready for a new episode of HBO's Boardwalk Empire. One of the stars of the show, Michael K. Williams, joins us in studio. He is Chalky White on the show. And here he is. Mr. Williams, how are you, sir?
Bean, man, I didn't appreciate that earlier comment about the puppy dog thing. I like to refer to myself as a teddy bear. You know, I'm cuddly, but I still bite.
but here's the thing about you, and I look, this is the 10,000th time you've had somebody tell you this, and I apologize for that. People know you primarily from the movies and television shows that you've done where they see you as a badass, and that's just the only word to describe it, tough guy. And then they meet you in person like we have or like I've seen you in interview situations, and you're just a nice, quiet, soft-spoken guy with a great sense of humor. I mean, it's just it's hard for us to wrap our heads around these both being you.
I don't know where that comes from, but I tell everybody I am not the thug. In my household growing up, my mama was the thug. She used to bust a gun in the house. And so,
I see. So you're like,
we didn't want no problems with mom.
Speaking of growing up, before we talk about Boardwalk Empire and all the other great stuff that you're on in Community, and of course, we've got to mention The Wire, but you had such a, I mean, your life could have gone in a very different direction, Michael, yeah, right? I mean, you grew up, I mean, you had a little bit of a tough time growing up with some bad people and some poor decisions. It could have really worked out poorly for you, right?
It was going in that direction. I could have, I got like a real blessing. I got a second chance at life, but you know, with all the sadness and stuff, man, I wouldn't change my child life for nothing. There were a lot of good memories. You know, some, you know, it was fun getting in some of that trouble. You know what I mean?
Sure. Were there, were you in gangs?
No. The only gang I was...
A lot of fights, though.
No, not a lot of fights. You know what I mean? I was really a corny kid, man. You know, I just... My whole thing, I like to party.
Corny?
Yeah, I was a corny kid.
You were corny.
I wasn't popular.
I would not have used that word for you.
Yeah, man. It was really awkward with the ladies. You know, I just, you know... My main thing is I just like just to party, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, just smoke some weed, drink some beer, you know?
Yeah.
Right. You know,
take it easy, Mugs. Now you're talking Mugs language. Is it an oversimplification to say that it was music that kind of pulled you out of that a little bit? Your love for hip-hop kind of set you on a different path, right?
You know,
dancing, music, dancing, videos, all
yeah,
that kind of stuff?
Dancing, definitely. You know, I was always, that was one of my ways I tried to fit in. You know, I used to be like, you know, Mike, you're not a gangster, you're not a thug, you know, how do you fit in? So I became the cool kid at the party. You know, I'm always partying, so Mike always knew all the latest dances.
You better be good if that's your claim to fame is dancing. Like, you better be good. You're not a thug or anything. I'm a dancer. You better really bring it to your dance. You know what I mean? Or people go, wow!
I wasn't really good at that neither, but
what kind of dances were popular back then? Do you remember what were the things that you were doing?
Oh man,
this was after Poppin' and Lockin', of course. But
I wasn't as talented to be a breakdancer. I was really not the greatest dancer, but I remember I would do the meanest, sickest running man. I knew all that.
You could, the running man's hot.
You could like stop in motion and pick it back up again.
Did you dance to be funny? Which is my category. It's the only way I can dance. Is bad to be funny? Or do you were dancing good?
No, I took my dancing quite seriously.
You did? All right. I can.
You know, that was my only end to the ladies, you know?
Yeah, well, listen.
You got a warm on the dance floor.
Use what you want, man. Use what you have, man.
I know that's it.
How did you end up knowing Tupac Shakur?
Tupac Shakur, I met him. Now, this is after, you know, for those of you who may not know, I got a buck 50, as we call it in the street, which is this huge scar down the middle of my face. And after I got that, I started getting approached by, like, directors wanting me to portray, like, thug roles in the videos and whatnot. So,
You didn't have any interest in that particular world from other people until you got the scar?
Yeah, I was happy being a background dancer. I was trying to get to Janet Jackson.
Sure. Yeah. Wasn't everyone at that point.
It was the Rhythm Nation era, yeah, man. You know, you made it when you got there. So I was happy, you know, doing what I was doing. And then, you know, I started taking these projects and these videos. And then, like, you know, in New York City, that was a time in the 90s where you shot the right video. You was an overnight success.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's why, you know, you go to these production companies, and my picture was all over the city. And Tupac was in New York. He was filming a movie called Bullet opposite Mickey Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw a Polaroid of me in the office and was like, yo, go find this dude. He looks thugged out enough to play my little brother. And
that's crazy.
God bless him.
He saw the scar that goes, the scar that's longer than your face. I don't know how that is physically possible, but it is.
Yeah, he kind of like.
That's amazing.
He had the raise in his mouth, man.
Serious?
Yeah, some real jailhouse stuff. You know what I mean?
Wow. Now, was it just strictly a working relationship? You were on set with him for a few days and that was it? Or did you develop any kind of a friendship with him?
You know, no. I can use the term. I was a puppy dog around Pac.
Well, everyone was around Tupac.
I said very little. I'm older than he, and I was like... He was just like, I was like a little kid behind him. I said nothing. I would just like kind of just sit there and just like this big-eyed kind of kid, you know.
You're just happy to be there. You were like, hey, this is awesome, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you surprised to see how his legacy has grown every single year? He's more popular today than the day he died.
I'm so not shocked at that. You know, he had that persona. You know, when you got to... you know, you listen to him speak, because I didn't say too much to him, but I listened to him talk. You realize that he was a lot smarter than we gave him credit for it, you know. So it doesn't shock me that you know, his legacy is so strong today. And that was one of the things that I, you know, after his passing and when I had arrived at The Wire, you know, I had made a decision that, you know, I would pick up the torch where he left off as an actor, and what he may have become had he still been alive. I hope to aspire to be just a portion of that in my career.
Well, I mean this as a very sincere compliment. The same quality that Tupac had, that you couldn't take your eyes off him when he was on screen, is what we feel about you and what people say. And you've heard that a lot, what people say. When you're on the screen, you're in the scene, man.
Do you want to date him? Do you want to
I'm
batting my eyelashes right now.
No, but Lisa, you know what I'm saying. There are some actors that come on, they do their thing and they walk off. When Chalky White's on the screen, or when, you know, Omar's on the screen back on The Wire, you can't look at anything else. I mean, you just enraptured by it. And that's to your credit, Michael. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's absolutely
thank you.
True.
I got a lot of good hope. Work. You can't take all the credit, you know. I got
take it.
Awesome writing.
Once, take it.
Just one time. Thank you. I'll take it.
All right. Michael K. Williams is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. Come right back with more right after this. Our guest is actor Michael K. Williams here in the studio. Of course, he is Chalky White on Boardwalk Empire Sunday nights on HBO. Don't be telling everybody you like Coldplay. Look, I can like Coldplay. You can't like Coldplay, all right?
I like Coldplay. Ever since Jay-Z mentioned them, man, you know.
Jay-Z gives anyone credit, right?
Man.
Let me tell you something about Michael K. Williams here. A young senator from Illinois named Barack Obama was asked once about his television viewing habits, and he said The Wire was his favorite show of all time and that Omar was his favorite television character of all time. I think that was you he was talking about.
I think so.
you've worked for or at least campaigned for the president. You met the president?
Yeah, I met him. I met him during the primaries in Harrisburg, PA. And as my mother likes to say, he gave me the homeboy handshake.
Nice. You know,
grabbed me and hugged me.
Could you get him on the phone if you had to? I mean, if you wanted to call, could the White House switchboard could buzz into his office, say Omar's on the phone. You think you can get through?
Oh, I don't go through the secretary.
That's right. Yeah, he just calls his BlackBerry, right?
Yeah,
right to Obama.
What was it like? And I know I'm asking to condense several years of your life into just a few sentences, but working on The Wire, that must have been the richest experience for an actor to go, I can't believe I'm a part of a show that's this amazing, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't get there right away. You know, season one, you know, Dude at the Projects from Brooklyn. You know, I was just happy to have a gig. And I went down to Baltimore, and then something else happened. I fell in love with that city. Shout out to Baltimore, man. It's a beautiful city, you know, and I just like, so, you know, I moved down there, you know, based on, you know, my success of the season one. And then season two came, and then I got introduced to David Simon's, you know, mind. And he switched up the whole, you know, the whole thing and went to the docks and he brought all these white actors in. And I was like, what is going on?
But he had a vision. You know, he knew what he was doing.
He had a vision. So I spent season two being really bitter, not understanding what was going on. It's like, so I learned so much, man. Like, you know, how, you know, what makes good TV, how writers do it. You know how to sustain a character. It's just like that's, I call The Wire my college days, and then like season three, I didn't start to realize that it wasn't about me until season three, and I was
interesting.
Like, yeah, just like, oh Mike, you know, it's not about you and your little career and you know what you think Omar should be doing.
Right,
it's about being a part of something a lot bigger than myself. And you know, when I looked back at the whole picture. It kind of deflated my ego, and I felt real humble to be a part of something so great.
How in season three did you lose some of that bitterness, or was it still even later?
No, season three.
That's when I said, hey, now I get it.
And I felt very fortunate to be a part. You know what I mean? Like towards the end.
And then The Wire ends, and you're thinking, well, that was I was lucky to be on that, but nothing like that'll ever come along. And then you know, before you know it, here you're on Boardwalk Empire, which is getting the same kind of raves.
Man, being I still, you know, can't believe that lightning has struck twice in the same place. Yeah. And I gotta tell you something, man. You know, like you guys see the outside, you know, looking and you see all the, you know, the bells and the whistles and you know the good writing and stuff. But really, why I feel fortunate to be having come from The Wire to go to Boardwalk Empire is because I'm in such great company. You know, like. You know, you hear these horror stories about the behind the scenes of these TV shows and how
most of them you would think, oh, they're having the best time in the world, and then you find out they were
like stabbing each other, you know, like having shootouts on the set, you know. But The Wire is my family. Like, you know, Sonya and all of us still keep in very close contact, and like, you know, the Boardwalk guys, like that's like my little boys club, same kind of energy. Wow. Everybody comes to work, no egos, no attitudes. Everybody comes in, knocks their job down, you know, and it's just like it's such a great community to be a part of, and you guys don't get to see that, but I guess it translates into the work.
Did you audition for Mr. Scorsese when you went up for the for this job for Boardwalk Empire?
Absolutely.
How terrifying is that as an actor to walk into that room?
No, but guess what? No. I went through that back in '98. I went through the sweaty armpit effect back in '98 when I met him for the role opposite Nick Cage in Bringing Out the Dead. But I booked Chalky the exact same way I booked Omar, which was one take on tape, mail it in.
Really? That's it?
I was in Cape Town. Nev Campbell, I said, Nev, run this scene with me. We taped it. I sent it in. YouSendIt.com.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you have a script? You were doing some Chalky dialogue on tape and sent it in.
Actually, it wasn't. It was a mock script. It was a mock scene. That my audition tape for Chalky does not exist.
That's so crazy because how did you even know enough about the character to know what they wanted from Chalky? I mean, did they just say be intense? What direction did they give you?
There was absolutely no direction. They said, put yourself on tape. This is the scene.
You just guessed what they might like or what you, what,
I mean,
how
that, you
saw?
Know, with it, I don't remember the scene. You know, that was, I got 20 months clean now, so, you know, I was doing a lot of stuff in Cape Town.
Right.
It's a little foggy. I don't remember everything. But I remember being able to read the scene, and I knew what the show was about. I knew that it was a period piece. And I just kind of like, as actors, you got to make your choices. And I just went with it.
All right. Let's play a clip for folks. And I can't imagine there are people, they're no friends of mine if they haven't seen Boardwalk Empire yet. But let's play a clip. Here's what you need to know before you hear this is that Nucky Thompson, who's a real person, by the way, right? He's a real guy, right, Michael?
Yeah, yes, sir. But actually, in real life, his name is Nucky Johnson.
Right. Well, you don't want to be dead on. You don't want them to be able to sue.
That's no fun.
So he is, he runs the town. He's not the mayor of the town, but he picks the mayor of the town. He's a gangster and he gets money from everybody for everything. You're kind of his compadre on the black side of the tracks. You basically are the leader of the African American population at that time in Atlantic City. And you and Nucky have had a very tough, I mean, let's face it. He had you arrested and put in jail. I mean, you guys have had a lot of trouble this season. And here's kind of a key scene of you telling him what's up.
We're supposed to be protected from these old fags.
Look, I can't
control them. No, you look. I'm done with this.
Just like that, huh?
I got my family and I got my people.
Your people?
The 10,000 black folk who make this city home. Bus boys, trash collectors, porters.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning you go school these crackers. Lest you all find out.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Look out.
I got to say, man, shout out to Shea Wiggins, man. I love that dude. He plays Eli, man. He's a good dude. You know, but, really, people don't understand some being that, you know, like, Nucky's really not a gangster. You know, and in real life, Nucky, you know, he never.
Yeah, but he arranges hits and things
like
that.
Don't get it twisted. He's in bed with gangsters.
Sure. Okay.
Like, you know, that what you saw was in that time we're witnessing with this show is also the birth. We witnessed the birth of the American gangster, and we're witnessing the birth of crooked politicians getting in bed with gangsters. You know, and that whole, you know, that kind of, you know, that world.
But what I love about Chalky so much is he's such a complex guy because he's obviously, you know, he's a very, very smart man. You know, he's well respected. He's got a, you know, terrific family life. He's,
can't,
you know,
read.
Can't read, right, as we learned in an amazing scene. But, I mean, he's a real smart guy and he knows what's up. But he also is smart enough to know how to work the system. He knows what he can get away with at his station in life at that time and pushes back. And, there must be 10 plot lines going through Boardwalk Empire this season. I just can't wait to see how all of them wrap up.
Yeah, you and me both. There's chunks of the storyline I don't know.
You don't know yet?
Yeah.
Can you go ask and call us?
Let us know.
Right. I could.
How many more episodes do we have for this season? Do you know?
I believe we have five.
Five more? Yeah. Wow.
And it's
okay.
About to go down. It's about to go down.
It's about to go down.
It's going
to
get so ugly, man. So, I tell you this much, man. Something's going to happen. It's going to break your heart.
Oh, no.
Come on.
That's
how
you're going to play this.
All right.
That hurts. All right. We're out of time, by the way. MichaelKennethWilliams.com is the website. You can follow Mr. Williams on Twitter at some bizarre BKBMG.
You don't know what that stands for, Bean?
I don't.
Brooklyn boy makes good. And you got to say the good. That's the Italian. And that's the Shout out to all my Guidos in Brooklyn. I love you. Your Brooklyn boy makes good. You know what I mean?
But Brooklyn is BK, so it's Brooklyn with the B and the K. Okay,
I wanted BBMG, but that was gone, so I had to do the BK thing. You know, shout out to Jigga. BK, baby.
There you go.
I just had to give my love to L.A., man. Shout out to everybody in Cali, man. I love you. See you soon.
You there are you over your amount of shout-outs that you're allowed for one radio podcast. That's right.
Shout-out to Bean, man. Shout-out to Kevin and Bean, man. How about that?
Thanks for coming in. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So awesome having Michael K. Williams in studio. We go from him to the whitest man in the world, Adam Carolla, right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Carolla's got soul, man. You don't know.
No.
Oh, does he? Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't see soul.
The man who brought us Mr. Burcham is soulful? Is that what you're telling us?
He is.
I don't see soul in Adam. I love Adam. I don't see soul in him.
You ever heard him freestyle?
No.
I can honestly say I have not.
I haven't. Then why don't you mind your own beeswax?
We'll ask him to.
All right. Congratulations to Billy Crystal. He's once again the host of the Oscars. He tweeted yesterday that he is taking the job once again as the MC for the honors because one simple reason. So the young woman in the pharmacy will stop asking my name when I pick up my prescriptions. So, see, he's already got material. That's what I love about Billy Crystal. We're going to get one of his big song and dance opening numbers.
Of course.
I enjoy those. Here's the thing. To be the host of the Oscars, you have to be funny, but you also have to have MC skills, which is a unique talent.
Like Jay-Z, you know, or Kanye.
No,
like,
what?
Not that kind of MC.
Not that kind of MC. Like literally master of ceremonies where you have to be able to present and introduce people and keep things rolling. And that is the hardest part of the gig, I think. A lot of comedians get out there and tell jokes. But to be able to put it all together and present an evening, it's a rare quality. I think Billy's got it.
And there are people, I mean, somebody like Ellen or somebody like that can do it. But the problem is when they give it to, you know, James Franco, that's just out of his his depth.
That's stupid. Did porn star Kim Kardashian fool us all with her fake wedding?
Wouldn't doubt it.
Well, there may be some proof. In the new December issue of Marie Claire magazine, a lot of people are pointing to the fact that the cover has photos of Kim Kardashian and the headline, What Went On in Her Crazy Marriage, talking about the interview inside that discusses how her marriage went south. Here's the thing. She filed for divorce 11 days ago. Typically, Marie Claire magazine puts their issues to bed about 3 months in advance.
What?
So people are speculating, how could they get that interview, get the art, do the cover, have it all ready to go if they just found out the news 11 days ago? It is not it's possible, but if they were to do it, it would cost them about $100,000 in order to make the switch once they already had the printing set up to print whatever issue they were going to do.
But let me ask you this, Ralph, and I don't know anything about this topic, but how does a weekly like People magazine, how are they so current with whatever's happening that week every week?
Well,
there must be a way to do it.
They are a weekly magazine, first of all, as opposed to a monthly magazine. And also,
that's what it is.
Also, they print on cheaper stock. I mean, it is a less expensive tabloid-type magazine than Marie Claire, a fashion magazine.
And that's what they do. It isn't what Marie Claire does.
No, it's a fashion magazine, primarily Marie Claire, and they do stuff that has a longer shelf life in terms of the stories that they cover for, you know, clothing collections and that sort of thing. So
that sounds suspicious, then. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, sure does.
Although, if they were going to do it, you'd think they would do it for this story. I mean, it would be worth it, I would think.
Depending on the sales, I mean, I guess the Kardashians do sell magazines. I'm not saying it's absolute proof, but it is suspicious enough that people are saying, hey, wait a minute. Yeah. This is just tangentially related to show business, but I thought it was so bizarre that we needed to talk about it. Patrick Swayze, the late Patrick Swayze's niece, got married this week. She's a beautiful 23-year-old named Danielle. She married a 31-year-old neo-Nazi named Joshua Stever.
What?
Okay.
Joshua is a committed neo-Nazi. He's got a lovely tattoo that reads racist on his forehead.
Oh my God.
How do you bring that guy home? Racist on his forehead.
Yeah.
Like a badge of honor.
Yep.
I guess you wait till dad's dead to start dating him. That's what you do.
Well, her dad isn't dead. Don Swayze, Patrick's brother, is quite upset, as you can imagine, doesn't approve of the marriage, but unfortunately hasn't spoken to his baby girl for over 5 years. They had a falling out, and he has had no relationship with his daughter for the past 5 years, so he really couldn't say much about the marriage to a man with a racist, literally a racist tattoo on his forehead, but also a rap sheet that includes convictions for deadly conduct and threatening to blow up a high school.
This guy has everything.
He is really the total package.
There are hardworking, good-looking guys out there that can't get a lady, and they're listening to this right now going, this guy got married?
that isn't good for you.
They met online, though, so there is hope for online romance.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Can always lie.
Wow.
Do you put your photo of you with the word racist tattooed on your forehead on your eHarmony account? Is that how you bring in
not
the ladies?
Not if you're trying to get black chicks, you don't.
He's probably not trying to get black chicks.
I guess not. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, as the tattoo.
What?
And maybe when you talk to your boyfriend Adam Carolla in the next hour.
When he freestyles?
You can ask him about his buddy Dee Snider that he's doing Celebrity Apprentice with. Dee Snider, apparently taken to the hospital, broke his finger while participating in an event for Celebrity Apprentice.
Take it to the hospital.
Dee apparently was trying to ride a horse at a Renaissance fair while dressed as a woman.
This is going to be the best season ever.
If there's one thing we've always said here on the show is do not dress up like a woman and attempt to ride a horse at a Renaissance fair. It is just not safe.
Said it once, we've said it a thousand
times.
We
really have. He didn't get anyone to look at the finger until 2 days later, and then they ended up having to operate on the finger. It was so badly broken, and put 4 surgical pins into it.
Dude.
He is now in a cast, but rumor has it he's the strongest player on the men's team for Celebrity Apprentice right now. So, yeah, maybe if Adam can talk about that, you can get to the bottom of it. Ask Adam if he was dressed as a woman at a Renaissance fair. He would not make a good-looking woman, but...
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Mark Sanchez, QB for the Jets and for USC back in the day, 25 years old today. Leonardo DiCaprio with his new film, J. Edgar, now in theaters, 37 years old. Carson Kressley, remember here from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. He was also in Dancing with the Stars this season, 42 years old. Calista Flockhart is 47. Demi Moore is 49. By the way, same age as her weight.
Yeah.
It doesn't very often happen in Hollywood. But Stanley Tucci, 51 years old today, and singer-guitarist Andy Partridge of the XTC fame is 58 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Ralph's got a final look at the showbiz beat coming up later this hour. We'll sing that Don Bogart song and something called Thanks for That Tweet Bean. I don't know what that is,
no,
but that doesn't sound like it's very good. Let me tell you about my friend Adam Carolla. The Ace Man has a new app available for iPhone and Android.
What?
The full lineup of Adam Carolla shows is available to watch and listen in one great app. You can also interact with Adam via Facebook and Twitter there. And, of course, AdamCarolla.com is up and running and completely revamped. Adam, you know, we can't get a Kevin and Bean app. They won't let us have a Kevin and Bean app. So we are very, very jealous of you right now, my friend.
What is that? Why won't they give you Kevin and Bean?
You know, what's funny is some people, not us, but some people came up with a great Kevin and Bean app, and then we took it to them. And they said, "Nope,
can't do it."
Why?
Because they want us. They want us chained to K-Rock forever in all things. That's why.
Don't you feel like if in radio you walked into the boss man's office and said, I've got some silver swizzle sticks, and I'd like to offer you oral pleasure, and here's $5. He'd be like, I don't think so.
We figured out a way to make a car run on water. Nope, get out.
Not so fast, smart guy. Talk about it with the sales department.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on, but congratulations on all the new stuff. It really does look great. And, of course, Adam has the world's most downloaded podcast. That's not me saying that. That's the Guinness Book of World Records. Records. And one of the reasons why is because he has a feature called, what's this feature called? It's been so long since we've done it, I forgot.
This Week in Rage.
This Week in Rage.
Where's my music?
Trying to play. There we go.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Right, that could have started better.
Yeah, all right. But doesn't matter. I'm going to make up for it because I'm going to give it 110%.
Excellent.
Normally, I literally just phone it in. Starting at number 3, working our way down to number 1. This week, the great Joe Frazier, Smoking Joe Frazier, passed away.
Yeah.
And you start watching these guys' biographies, and you really start appreciating, you know, where these guys come from and what they had to do and the hurdles and the mountains they had to climb. And then you hear this, the son of a sharecropper, and you think, damn, I wish my dad was a sharecropper. I mean, I know life would suck, but then you could say, son of a sharecropper.
And then whatever you did would be successful.
Yeah, and my point, not only you bound for glory and success, it sounds great, whereas my kid's going to get son of a podcaster,
yeah.
Or, you know, his father did data entry. You know what I mean? He managed a Starbucks. It's not going to sound good. whatever happens from this day forth, whatever you achieve, your dad is not going to be a sharecropper, and thus it will tarnish your accomplishment.
That's true.
No, you're right, because son of a sharecropper, that's what you want on your resume if you plan to grow up and be the president of the United States. I mean, that is gold.
And people judge your success and wealth in two ways. One is just based on sort of its own merits, like, hey, that guy was heavyweight champ of the world. But if your dad was heavyweight champ, or your dad owned a boxing gym, or owned Madison Square Garden, then people go, eh, all right.
Get a leg up.
Yeah, they do that Donald Trump math where they go like, yeah, I guess his dad owned half of Manhattan and he's whittled it down to a quarter of Manhattan.
Right.
Big whoop. But imagine if Donald Trump's dad was a sharecropper.
Yeah, be impressive.
Respect through the roof.
Be very
so
impressive.
I'm just saying, everybody, and I'm going to start this too, as a dad, I'm going to take next summer off and do some sharecropping.
Okay, good.
We could do it together. We could share the share. We could all get a crop and share it.
But how long do you have to do that before you can
That's the deal. Once it goes on the resume,
okay.
It's there.
All right.
You know what I mean? So we'll all just take a few weeks off and we'll share a crop.
Okay.
And then when our kids do something, it'll be son of a sharecropper.
Excellent.
It'll be awesome.
Like it.
And I don't know. Evidently, they don't have daughters because it's always son of a sharecropper. They don't crap out any girls of sharecroppers.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. I don't know what's going on out there. I've been encountering this a lot. Happened to me twice this week. Angry bicyclist, you know, they're out there and they're screaming at everybody hey, we own the road too. And
I saw
this chick like yelling at this guy in a Camry, and then she kept yelling at him. And then I encountered one of those weird swarms where I was just driving through Glendale like 10:30 at night, and all of a sudden there's 50 guys on the road, and all these weird 20-year-old guys with bad facial hair, and they're on the road and they're taking up the right lane. But they're taking up the left lane, too.
Yeah.
So when I just pull out and haul ass and go around them, they get all uppity. Like, hey, man, what the F, man?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, you're going 9 miles an hour, dude. And your combined weight is under 250 pounds. And I got 4,300 pounds here. So how about you shut the F up and move the F over?
Now, we do live in a world now where the bicyclists look at the cars as competition or as the enemy. I don't know what's happening.
It's weird. Everyone's getting weird and uppity. I sort of blame Al Gore.
Wow.
They're looking down their nose like, hey, man, look at you and your fossil fuels and your heated seats, man. We're out here keeping it real. And which is fine. Ride your bike. I don't care. But stay off to the right or I'll run your ass over.
Part of the problem, Adam, is that legally, they can ride on the road. But I'm telling you that 4,300 pounds trumps legally.
I know, but I want to say this. Black folk, legally, cops aren't supposed to shoot you when you run at them waving your arms around. But sometimes they do because they have a gun.
I see.
And all I'm saying is this is the Whitey's version of that. This is you driving in the middle of the road with 5,000 pounds SUV behind you going, F you, dude! F you! You're going to get killed. And you know what? No one's going to feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
So
unless,
knock it off.
Unless the bicyclist was the son of a sharecropper.
That's right. We're all going to collectively shed a tear.
Yeah.
Stay on the sidewalk with the rollerbladers and the mommies running with those weird weird speed strollers. All right. And number one, I'm in love with this idea. I was staring at that footage from College Town, Pennsylvania, and they're riding over Joe Pond. They're taking to the streets, and they're turning over the news van. And then, you know, they're always turning over a news van. And by the way, the guys who park the news vans have to know, we're probably going to get turned over.
This is getting turned over, right.
Let's stay on the outskirts over here. Or, you know, park up against a wall or something. But news vans are always begging to be turned over because they're always taller than they are wide, and then they have all sorts of crap and equipment on top.
Yeah.
And if you lean on the thing, they'll turn over. And so it's like they're just begging to be turned over. And then I thought, how do we prevent these news vans from being turned over? And then I realized it's the paint scheme. Because they just got WRX news radio on the side of the thing and hot news, whatever. And they're begging to be turned. You know what you need on the side of your news van? A thing that says Bob's Aquarium Dolphin Transport.
And oh, beautiful.
I swear to God, and then you just, all you do is you just have a couple of flipper sounds come out of the thing. Just a couple of that dolphin sound come out of there, and you leak a little water out, and if one guy leaned against it and said, we should turn this over, a chick would beat the crap out of him.
Yeah,
they'd be like, get
camouflage.
Away from that fan. Don't rock that fan. There's a dolphin in there.
You put a lot of work into this dolphin theory.
Nobody would lean up against an aquarium van and say, we got to flip it over. And if they did, they'd be mugged.
That's true.
They'd be dragged through the streets like Hussein, or what's his name was. You know.
That guy, sure.
Gaddafi, right.
Gaddafi,
yeah. Look.
Yeah, I'm just saying, change the paint scheme on the news van to aquarium van,
like
and it will
it.
Not be afterwards. It'll be confusing. Why is the guy with the aquarium pulling his van in the middle of the night? But it will not get turned over.
Only Adam Carolla thinks this way, and you can see him on stage with his Adam Carolla Hates the Holiday shows all over this great land of ours, including Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, and right at home at the Grove in Anaheim on December 15th. Go to adamcarolla.com.
Ace
fan.
And you can see him on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, well, yeah.
No. Are we allowed to even say anything about that, Adam? We were told not to. But
I didn't say it. I got on a delay. Don't worry.
But we'll talk.
All right.
Okay, we'll talk. Thanks, Ace. Have a great weekend.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Yep. No, I'm with you.
That's coming.
Really?
Have a good weekend, everybody.
No, we got one more showbiz.
Happy Nigel Tufnel Day.
No, we got one more showbiz.
Really?
All right, we're not quite there
really?
Yet.
Really?
You can make it however long you
nobody
want.
Nobody wants that.
I'm
nobody.
Just saying.
Well, I think people are. I mean, nope. I think there are people listening who have just tuned in who haven't heard what's going on. They don't know about
they
the Oscar
care.
Thing.
They don't
know about
they don't
anything.
Like me. They didn't like you less.
They should have tuned in before?
They should have tuned to another show. That's all I'm saying. They made
Here's
a poor
Ralph
choice.
Garman with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Abeen Show for Friday, and then we sing that song.
Happy Nigel Tufnel Day, everybody. Nigel Tufnel Day, of course. 11-11-11. You know why?
No.
Why don't you play that audio you're trying to play with the volume up this
why?
Time?
If you can see, the numbers all go to 11.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
These go to 11.
Oh, I see. I get it.
Now you get it. Someone tweeted Harry Shearer, who, of course, is a member of Spinal Tap, played Derek Smalls, the bass player for Spinal Tap. I think somebody tweeted him, why didn't you just make October 10th, 2010 louder?
Nice!
Why don't you make 10-10-10 louder?
That's funny.
That is very funny. Having some fun with that today. All righty then. Mel Gibson, has he impregnated another woman?
Oh, I hope so.
It worked out so well with Oksana Grigorieva, I can see why he would. A reality TV star, in quotes, named Laura Polizzi, is telling her friends that Mel Gibson fathered her upcoming arrival.
What are you, a expert?
Laura apparently appeared on the legendary VH1's Secrets of Aspen show back in 2010.
Hell is that?
Oh, everybody watched Secrets of Aspen.
Never heard of that show.
Remember, it took place in Aspen, and everyone had all those things that they
the
kept
secrets?
To themselves.
I don't care.
Yeah, I have not seen her. I'm assuming she's attractive.
Sure.
Now, Mel's camp is saying it's physically impossible for him to be a father again.
That's provocative.
After Oksana took his balls in court, I guess.
What?
The story is untrue.
It's physically impossible, meaning he had surgery?
I'm guessing they have to be referencing a vasectomy. If they're saying it's physically impossible for Mel to be a father again, I mean, what else could that mean, right?
Well, it's funny. I mean, you could absolutely be right. But the first thing I thought is he was never in the same place at the same time with her. He was never alone with her. He didn't date her. He physically could not have impregnated her because they never slept together. That's the first thing I thought.
But that's not – you don't make a definitive statement because that could just be a story, you know?
Right, of course,
he
yeah.
could just say he was out of town or say he never met her at a party, whatever.
Right.
But if you're offering up as your first line of defense, it's physically impossible for him to be a father again. I think you're saying, regardless of whether they were in the same room or not, even if they boned, in other words, he's not a father because there was snip, snip.
Back off. I despise you.
Well, I'm just reporting a story, Mel. No need to get personal.
You offend me on every level.
So people are speculating there still may be some paperwork involved, some legal paperwork involved in this story. We'll have to see.
You glum.
Come on.
Wow, that's my favorite, by the way.
That is a good one, and I can't understand any of it.
Just when you thought it was safe to be in Spider-Man, turn off the dark. Another actor got hurt.
Did we think it was... Is that still on?
It is on Broadway. It's a big hit on Broadway now.
What?
It's making a ton of money.
It is?
Yeah. It's doing very well for itself. The actor who took over the lead in the show, the role of Peter Parker, Matthew James Thomas, got hurt off stage during Act 2 of Wednesday's matinee. He was making his debut in the show.
Oh,
it was his first show.
Awesome.
He was physically unable to perform the remainder of the show. Now, here's the thing. Reeve Carney, who created the lead role of Peter Parker, was in the audience. Happened to be in the theater.
Love it.
Jumped up and finished the performance for him.
From the audience. He jumped up on stage and finished the performance.
Well, I don't know if he jumped up on stage, but they say he was in the theater, and so he took over.
That's weird.
For the fallen actor and finished out the performance.
He maybe knew it was going to happen.
He did.
Just have someone standing by at all times.
He set that bear trap in the wings in the darkness.
We need one of everybody standing by just in case with this
just
one.
Just in case.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that more people have died in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark than in all of Vietnam.
That is true.
During the war. That is true?
That is absolutely true, yes. Piers Morgan announced this week, we talked about it, that he is not going to be returning to America's Got Talent as a judge. Yesterday, Los Angeles Times talked about the fact that producers are in negotiations with Howard Stern possibly to take over the role of judge on that show.
That would work.
That is the name I would leak also if I wanted publicity for my show.
You don't think it's going to happen, huh?
Not a chance in a million years.
Wouldn't he just, though, make fun of everyone and not really play the game?
Probably.
Yes. Yes, probably. Exactly.
Which would probably
maybe it'd be short-lived, but
probably be counter to what they would actually want for that show, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it
and
is.
Logistically, he's in New York, and that's where he lives, and that's where he does his show, and I can't imagine he'd want any part of that Hollywood nonsense.
Yeah. So the Bean's right. It is a good name to put in the papers if you want someone to talk about your show. Jeff Probst, legendary host from Survivor, also in the news this week. He is doing a syndicated daytime talk show.
All right, we need more of those.
Cleverly entitled Jeff Probst. He'll be sitting down with newsmakers and regular folks talking about life and love and the pursuit of happiness.
Every time we've talked to him, he's been fascinating.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
Super talented.
Talented filmmaker.
Likeable.
Yeah.
Got a lot going on.
Sounds like a good plan.
Good personality. I think that would be a show that probably, housewives or whoever's watching TV during the day would probably tune in to check out.
Look, Anderson Cooper's show just got renewed for a second season. That apparently is very successful. There is an audience for this type of program, certainly.
I'm fascinated with people, he said, and I love adventure. I can't wait to bring those two worlds together in daytime. What's he going to do? Send him to Redemption Island while he's talking to him?
That's really weird.
Interview him from the top of a palm tree? I'm confused how it's all going to work out.
But. Although it's brave
bad guess, he can just snuff out their fire.
That's right.
That's send right. It is brave to jump in now that Dr. Drew is already corralling the best guests. The people who eat for money and their boobs are too big and that's why they're on the show.
Stop giving Dr. Drew a hard time. His show is good now.
I missed My Boobs Make Me Cry or whatever yesterday's show was. Did you catch it?
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, of course I did. I'm addicted to it.
Why
aren't
you bringing in clips every day?
Yeah, what's up with that?
They had two girls on, one who had no boobs. She was completely flat-chested and just was crying her eyes out about how miserable her life is.
Right.
And they had the opposite. The other lady that was on the show had, she was a C-cup at age 10, and she is a 42H now. So they had her on talking about how miserable her life is because of her boobs. And then Dr. Judas waved his magic penis or whatever it is he does and got them... Got them both plastic surgery, and now they both look great.
He just changed their lives.
He was a life changer.
Just gave A some of H.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I don't know if they physically put tissue from one to the other.
Transplant.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But,
how dare you?
They did it live on stage. They did the operation live on stage. And they had someone from the audience come out and do the cutting, I understand. It was just some sort of lottery was held, and one of the studio audience members got to actually perform the procedure.
How dare you?
It was actual life-changing going on, though. So, I mean, that kind of show is not available now if Jeff Probst is thinking in that direction. It's that spot's been taken.
And Bean mentioned that Anderson Cooper's show has been renewed. So has Weeds.
All right.
Oh, that's great news.
Showtime announced today that they are picking up another season of Weeds. It is the highest-rated comedy series on Showtime. 750,000 weekly viewers, which is so funny when you look at broadcast television numbers still, even though most of us have cable or satellite or something, that 750,000 viewers a week is considered a smash hit for a pay cable comedy show.
Yeah, interesting.
So anyway, good news for Weeds fans. And they're already lining up down there at the LA Live outside the Nokia Theater in beautiful downtown Los Angeles to see the premiere of Twilight, which happens on Monday.
You don't know how to do that, so give it up. Do what you're good at. Whatever the f*** that is.
So wait, they're in line now?
They are lining up outside the theater so they can catch a glimpse of Robert Pattinson and...
Case 2.
Sulky not good looking.
Kristen Stewart.
Sulky
not good looking.
Taylor Lautner, Dakota Fanning. The whole cast will be there.
Give us their names as the kids know them, though, Bean.
As the you're talking about R-Pats,
uh-huh.
K-Stu,
right.
T-Lot, right?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
D-Fan, all of them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Damn you for knowing all of that, Bean.
So they are they're lining up 4 days in advance to see the premiere on Monday night.
A vampire, and I'm in love with this unattractive girl. I'm a werewolf, and I am also in love with this unattractive girl. Boy, she sure can act, though, can't she? Nope. The end.
The end.
Oh, now you've spoiled it for people who haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, sorry, spoiler alert.
Thank you, Chris Griffin. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mark Sanchez from the New York Jets and also for the USC Trojans.
Not anymore, but
not
was.
Not anymore, but was.
Sure.
25 years old today. Leonardo DiCaprio is 37 years old. Calista Flockhart. She'll always be Ally McBeal to me. But she's also Brothers and Sisters, also Mrs. Harrison Ford. Did you see their Halloween costumes, by the way, this year? They both dressed up as members from an 80s hair band. So Harrison Ford had this giant long wig on and zebra, tight zebra, like lycra pants.
How much did he just want to die?
Oh, he had a collar around his neck. He just looked like an old ass.
Guys, what 65-year-old is dressing up for Halloween
Zero.
Anymore? Aren't you past going to wacky costume parties at 65?
That's the problem when you marry someone in their early 20s and you're 65.
She's 47. She shouldn't be dressing up as Vince Neil either. Demi Moore's 49 years old today. Stanley Tucci's 51. And I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning at 7:15, we have details.
No.
On the K-Rock Almost Kiss Christmas 2011.
We're doing
We're going to do it again?
Monday morning.
We're doing that concert again? At 7:15, Monday at 7:15, Monday
seems
at 7:15.
Seems like we do it every year.
I'm with Ralph. I'm almost positive that's true.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Even deaf people are complaining.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's entertainment, baby. That's all.
Roll another one.
The charge is absolutely not true.
Just like the other one.
Still not funny.
This one seems to be a problem.
My taste buds is going wild.
I need another hit.
I'm the best comedian teller, and I can't say these jokes on the air, but I would say better jokes that you have never heard from me yet.
Roll.
I love Jesus, but I drink a little.
Just like the other one.
Who cares? A hole is a hole.
This one seems to be about.
I'm in a boner.
I don't have another cent.
I tell you what, nothing says good morning like a drunken human alarm clock.
What about the dogs? No respect for the dogs?
Just pass it around.
I'm happy to say that I don't even get that.
Open wide for Chunky.
Just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
Well, I guess all's well that ends well. No. I didn't mean that as a joke. I just meant that as a general comment to wrap things up. Wait, how was that funny? Look, I don't have time for this, okay?
Y'all's a bunch of bitches. Later, nerds.
Dude, where's my office? I totally lost it because I was half-baked, smoking doobies,
Doobie Brothers. I was smoking doobies with my brothers. Peace out. See you, Christ.